are finally able to make an arrest of an individual by the name of Brian Cole.
He had zero criminal history, saying that the government, when they were presenting, said that he was getting riled up online. He was all engaging in these kind of theories and things. And they said, there's no evidence of that at all. No messages, no texts, no evidence of any radicalization from their perspective. And they had to come back out and, as I mentioned earlier, admit that and say, he was a consumer of this media, not a poster.
An investigation spearheaded by the deputy director and the ADIC of our Washington field office brought in a new team of investigators and experts, reexamined every piece of evidence, sifted through all the data, something that the prior administration refused and failed to do.
He is a level one autistic man. He's got OCD. This explains all of the things that they're alleging, saying that the destruction of the cell phone evidence wasn't destruction of evidence. It was just an autistic man with OCD who resets his phone to the tune of 943 times.
What I think happened, this is Kyle Serafin's full opinion, I believe the FBI identified Brian Cole probably in that loop of like maybe 90 where they did some additional work. He was generally speaking in the area of, and then when they ran it down, they found out that he was not a good match because the pipe bomber route, it's roughly near where it says 1, 2, 3, 4 in a tight little cluster towards the center of the map. That's where the pipe bomber would have had to have been for the actual time that they say that the person was there. So there's a route of the actual bomber, and it's very, very small. You see it red and green. The number one is not inside sector number one. The number two is not inside sector number two very clean, or I guess it's on the edge. Three is right on the line, four and so on. So they have pings that are relatively close to where they should be, but they're not actually a slam dunk. This is not evidence. This is thin. This is like an indication to go do further information. Brian Cole Jr. was arrested under a complaint that was filed with the district court, the District of D.C., and they arrested a guy out of Woodbridge, Virginia for the pipe bomber case, claimed that he was the one who did it. If you don't get that indictment, then you have to take it in front of a judge for a preliminary hearing.
This is really interesting. Apparently, D.C. is unique in that it is the only district where this can occur, where a superior court grand jury can be used in district court. Interesting that Boasberg's kind of floating around at the center of it all, too.
They took every means. They filed all the means. They put all these motions out that said, hey, please, like, let's kick this down the line. We want to go to next year. We want to wait until we get in front of a grand jury. We don't want to have a preliminary hearing. And the defense, which is really aggressive, it's a new law firm that's out of Tennessee. They're former United States attorneys, and they're apparently very good, went out and said, no. We insist on having the preliminary hearing today, Tuesday, December the 30th. And so DOJ panicked and yesterday took Brian Cole Jr.'s case in front of a superior court, the lower court, in front of a grand jury, and got an indictment there.
You know, the prosecution was there. There was about 6 to 7 prosecutors sitting at that table. It was a little lopsided because he's sitting there with his one attorney. But that's obviously very standard. If you have the weight of the federal government against you, generally there's going to be 10 prosecutors. And if you're lucky, you could afford an attorney or else you get a public defender.
Right now you're seeing the house that Brian Cole Jr. lives in, and that's his vehicle. That's a blue Nissan Sentra 2017. This is the map of the cell phone pings and the towers that DOJ used. And now you're seeing what we believe is Brian Cole Jr.'s car driving at 8:04. It's driving while the pipe bomber is on foot over a mile away. And there's one other car that matches this description, and it's driven by a white person. We can't see who the driver of this is. But if that is Brian Cole Jr.'s car, then Brian Cole Jr. was driving while the pipe bomber was on foot dropping off the bombs, and it couldn't have been him.
Oh, this is a real Perry Mason moment. If I sound a little speechless here, this is so devastating.
So very simply, between the hours of 7:34 p.m. and 8:18 p.m. on January 5th, 2021, the pipe bomber is on foot, walking around with the hood on. That's who the FBI and the DOJ allege Brian Cole Jr. is, that figure. But the problem is a car that matches Brian Cole's car is in motion in Washington, D.C., over a mile away and driving in a route that's at least 7 minutes away and could not be him. There's no way outside of teleportation or some sort of magical time warp that Brian Cole Jr. is both driving his car and walking around at that time. So at the very least, it shows that there would have to be another person involved. More likely than not, what it shows is they've got the wrong guy altogether, which is what I believe for quite a while now.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
For me, a lot going on over here. We're excited that you're joining us today. Probably a busier weekend for those who are in Venezuela. As many of you guys know, that's been the big news going on all across the world right now. People really diving in and learning about the country for the first time. Those especially on the left, they have to now defend their communist leader that they love so much, apparently. I mean, they're all literally dragging to the streets right now, protesting the fact that we have arrested this man, Nicolas Maduro. Nicolas Maduro did not win the 2024 election in his country. So, you know, there's a lot going on over there. That's been ongoing. There's been a beef since the first administration of President Trump's time in office, I guess I should say, where they've been trying to get this guy. Now, I know everyone's fired up and talking about the oil aspect to all of this. I'm going to dive into that in a little bit. But the president coming out and saying a lot in regards to this, I also want to highlight the fact that I don't care how you feel about the actual arrest of Nicolas Maduro. I actually want to talk about how strategic, how well executed this was, and how incredible it is for our military right now to have done something so massive within 88 minutes. We'll be talking about that today with Matt Tardio on the program later today. We'll also have John Fawcett on the show. John Fawcett is an interesting person. I've actually known of John for quite some time. He was formerly Lou Dobbs' producer. We actually knew each other from back in the day over at Fox Business. But, you know, Dobbs was one of the only rave souls, one of the very few, I guess I'd say. There was a couple of others, obviously, Alex Jones being the other. But there was a couple, a handful maybe, Sidney Powell included, talking about the elections, but most importantly, the connection within Venezuela. Well, unfortunately, Lou Dobbs is no longer with us, but John Fawcett is, and he's going to detail that. Plus, so much more going on all around the country. Plus, we'll also have Hunter Gaylor on the program today, later today, to discuss the specifics in regards to what we could expect economically. Our lot going on. I had too much caffeine this morning. So let's kick things off with what I am paying attention to this morning. Specifically, we got our eyes on that Manhattan court today because they just shuffled Nicolas Maduro and his wife, and they're heading into court. Now, they're expected to appear in front of a judge at 12 p.m. Eastern time today here on InfoWars. We'll be bringing that to you with any updates that go on. Now, I don't believe there's going to be cameras inside the courtroom, but once he's brought out, we'll let you know the details in regards to all of that. Now, we've also got our eyes on a big press conference happening later today. The Minnesota governor, Tim Walz, is actually having a press conference at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. And if you're wondering what this is all about, the media is reporting that he actually might be bowing out of his reelection campaign. And that would be a big, big one. We'll bring it to you when it goes live. But ultimately, folks, the fraud has become so massive in his state that it looks like he has to bow out. So once that press conference begins, we're going to go straight to it, regardless of what we're covering, because this is going to be a big one if the media reports are true. And the president, well, I mean, he did have a busy weekend, obviously, so we won't hold it to him, but he's got a light schedule today at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. He's expected to participate in a policy meeting at the Oval Office. So we'll keep our eyes on that as well. But as many of you guys know, everyone can't stop talking about what happened in Venezuela over the weekend. Our military was able to, and it's so impressive, execute an arrest warrant for Nicolas Maduro. Now, Nicolas Maduro has been accused of many crimes, but the criminal complaint that's been filed against Maduro, the sealed indictment, which sadly comes from the Southern District of New York, well, it outlines his role in allegedly participating in a massive cocaine selling spree. I mean, he is being accused of that. There's several other defendants listed, and I'll bring you the details on that in a second. But we just learned moments ago that Cuba, and this is something that Eric Prince was talking about. I actually saw it on Steve Bannon's show, and I want to give credit to them, because Eric Prince has his thumb all over Venezuela. I mean, he knows when something's about to happen over in Venezuela. Now, he did tell me that he had no influence during what we saw the arrest, just so you guys all know. But I did reach out for comment on that, and he said that they were not a part of it. This was strictly our government, the United States government only, that was on the ground in Venezuela. But interesting enough, when you read through the federal indictment of Nicolas Maduro and his wife, this document was sealed. It was an indictment that was landed in the Southern District of New York, which is very disappointing, but it also charges six other defendants with narco-terrorism and drug trafficking offenses. Now, the list of defendants goes all the way down, and some of them still have not yet been captured. Obviously, they are likely to flee. Now, it's interesting, too, because we'll pull out the clip in a little bit. The corporate media is not happy that they didn't capture all of them. Getting Nicolas Maduro was a massive military success. Again, it was quite impressive. We're going to go, obviously, when Matt comes on the program in just a few minutes, we're going to dive into that because, folks, the Delta Force, what they did is incredible. Absolutely incredible. No Americans killed. And I've reached out to the Pentagon. I'm waiting to hear back about the specific number of U.S. service members who were injured. But as soon as they came down, they were under gunfire. And those brave, brave men, I mean, it's just so impressive. 88 minutes. That's all it took them to touch the ground in Venezuela, to capture Nicolas Maduro, and then get back up and get him out of there. Folks, just for a second, I don't care how you feel about this. Can we just celebrate the fact that our military was able to do something so incredible? This has communists all across the world fearful, absolutely fearful. Because President Trump, he was issuing several warnings. He even said that I warned Nicolas Maduro a week prior and told him to leave, and he didn't. The whole details of this is incredible. But it's important to note, and I have, and this is where we're going to highlight what I've been reporting to you guys, because again, it's fair and balanced, and I'm not going to BS you. I told you on this show that I didn't understand why we were really going after those drug boats for fentanyl. Because Venezuela really isn't producing and pushing out fentanyl like they were trying to describe, and it didn't make sense. In fact, I think it's less than 10% of fentanyl comes from Venezuela, which obviously is still significant, but it's not as significant as earning the entire, or we'll just say the attention of the Pentagon and the president. But the indictment itself doesn't talk about fentanyl. It's focused on cocaine. It's focused on the conspiracy to possess machine guns and destructive devices. So that's something to just keep in the back of your head. Now, again, Cubans were killed in all of this. And if you're wondering why, well, apparently, and again, this is my Eric Prince thing. Eric Prince was one of the individuals that came out there and said, I believe Cubans are actually guarding Maduro. I think that was what his point on Bannon was. And, well, it seems to be true. Cuba has officially announced that 32 citizens were killed by U.S. military operations that captured Nicolas Maduro. The deceased were apparently personnel from the Cuban's Revolutionary Armed Forces. So again, keep that in mind. That is That is incredible. Now, I know I heard Lindsey Graham saying, Cuba, you're next. He would love nothing more. Love nothing more. But we'll play President Trump's reaction to that as well in a little bit. But again, let's focus on however you feel about this. I mean, this, as the Biden regime really embarrassed this country when it came to our military, degraded them by forcing them to focus on DEI, elevating those biological men who chopped off their genitals and pretended to be women. Now we have a new administration really ensuring that our military strength is top priority. When I was at the Pentagon, they made that clear. And everyone who's behind Pete Hegseth, the Department of War Secretary. Gotta say that, can't say the other title, that's no longer. Well, they were all on board with this plan. I want to play clip one for you. That's the President of the United States who is reacting to the capture of Nicolas Maduro. Take a listen.
It was a very dangerous operation. It was amazing that we had a few injured, but all are in good shape right now. But I knew there was great danger. He got off the helicopter. The helicopters were being shot at. They got on the ground. They were amazing, amazing talent and tremendous patriotism, bravery. The bravery was incredible. Let's see, they got off the helicopter and the bullets were flying all over the place. As you know, one of the helicopters got hit pretty badly, but that we got everything back. Got everything back and nobody killed.
As you heard, obviously, one of the helicopters really getting a beat down. But folks, the fact that those men did not leave a piece of military equipment behind and were able to do all of this without one American losing their lives, I have to say, is absolutely incredible. So if you're waking up this morning, you should be prideful of this country. Regardless of how you feel about this, this will send a clear message to our adversaries. Don't F with the United States. Because if you do not take our warning seriously, well, Delta Force will come and capture you. Now listen, there's a lot to be worried about. And again, I'm not 100% on board with what's happening as of right now, but let me just present all the facts to you first. In clip two, President Trump is saying who is really going to be running Venezuela over these next few weeks. And this one's got a lot of us concerned. Take a listen.
The next question is who's in charge of Venezuela right now. Have you spoken to the newly sworn in president there, Rodriguez? And what are your thoughts on the entire situation? You said the U.S. would run Venezuela.
We're dealing with the people. We're dealing with the people that just got sworn in. And don't ask me who's in charge, because I'll give you an answer and it'll be very controversial.
What does that mean?
It means we're in charge.
We are in charge, that's according to the president. Now, again, they have a so-called individual who has now taken over. Again, the last election is not recognized by many countries because they do believe it was rigged. And this isn't the first time Nicolas Maduro has done just that. Delcy Rodriguez is the woman now claiming to be the leader of Venezuela. And it's interesting because yesterday on Instagram, she did post, actually be considered the early hours of this morning, that she's now invited the United States government to come forward and collaborate with her. She's looking forward to sharing the developments within the framework of international law to strengthen lasting community coexistence, aka she's afraid, and she knows that she's not going to be running this country for much longer. You see, right now, it's quite obvious the Venezuelan military, even with the Cubans helping them out, they were not prepared. They were not prepared. And so everyone in Venezuela right now really is on high alert. I think it's so impressive, man, on what they were able to execute. Not a single leak between here and the Iranian strikes. And again, you guys know I was very hesitant about the Iranian strikes, but man, not a single leak from this administration. And on top of it, they were able to execute it again without a single American losing their lives. I just can't get over that. And it's only been a couple of months since Pete Hegseth has taken on this role over at the Pentagon. So keep that in mind. Now, President Trump, again, he was He had a lot to say yesterday. We're playing throughout the show. But it's really important that you hear from the president, because in clip three, he's also talking about the woman now, the acting Venezuelan leader, Delcy Rodriguez. And I don't imagine she's going to be sitting there any, I don't know, much longer. There were reports, I believe, that she was fleeing and that she was going to go to Russia. But again, that not confirmed. She's claiming still to be the leader. But take a listen to clip three when President Trump addresses her.
You said that she would face the same fate, if not worse, than
worse.
But it sounds like you're talking to her on the phone.
I am.
And wanting to work
not
with
me,
her.
Not me, my people
are
disabled.
And you are considering her in power. Can you just clarify where you stand on Delcy Rodriguez?
I don't have to tell you. I just say that she will face a situation probably worse than Maduro. Because, you know, Maduro gave up immediately.
So she could also...
He raised his hand, he gave up. And he did the right thing, but he gave up. So we were actually... We were so effective, and it was so fast and violent. It was very violent, but we were so effective. He raised his hands, he gave up.
So you hear the president over there saying just that. Again, I don't see it going well for her. I assume that she's going to be stepping down momentarily, but we'll have to sit there and see, because again, she's afraid. She's on edge. Now, of course, those in the left-wing media really aren't happy with this, because they have to actually be transparent. They actually have to tell you, well, the Trump administration did a great job. And there's a small group of Democrats that will do just that, because, again, keep in mind, and we'll go into detail about this in a little bit, but Nicolas Maduro, under the Biden regime, was a wanted man. $25 million was the price tag on his head. So now that they've been able to capture him in the Trump administration, well, they can't really give them full credit. So what you have, those Democrats who are disguising themselves as corporate media journalists, well, you have them trying their best to throw punches, and they did so with the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, yesterday, and they tried their best to pretend like this wasn't that impressive. Take a listen to clip four.
He's still in place. The defense minister, who has deep ties to Russia, $15 million price on his head, he is still in place. I'm confused. Are they still wanted by the United States? Why didn't you arrest them if you are taking out the narco-terrorist regime?
You're confused? I don't know why that's confusing to you.
They're still in power.
I mean, it's very simple. You're not going to go in and like, wrap up. You're going to go in and suck up five people. They're already complaining about this one operation. Imagine the howls we would have from everybody else if we actually had to go and stay there 4 days to capture four other people. We got the top priority. The number one person on the list was the guy who claimed to be the president of the country that he was not. And he was arrested along with his wife, who was also indicted. And that was a pretty sophisticated and frankly complicated operation.
It was.
It is not easy to land helicopters in the middle of the largest military base in the country. The guy lived on a military base. Land within 3 minutes, kick down his door, grab him, put him in handcuffs, read him his rights, put him in a helicopter, and leave the country without losing any American or any American assets. That's not an easy mission. And you're asking me, why didn't we do that in five other places at the same time? I mean, that's absurd. I do think this is one of the most, you know, daring, you know, complicated, sophisticated missions this country has carried out in a very long time. Tremendous credit to the U.S. military personnel who did it. It was unbelievable. And tremendous success. And today, an indicted drug trafficker who was not the legitimate president of Venezuela,
right,
who we don't recognize, the Biden administration didn't recognize, 60-something countries don't recognize, the European Union doesn't recognize, and many countries in Latin America don't recognize. He was a indicted drug trafficker. He was arrested. His wife was arrested.
Right,
also
but the
indicted,
others, the others who are also indicted
in
are still,
system of courts.
The others who are also indicted are still in place. So that's the point of my questioning there. But you talked about not being the legitimate
president.
So you wanted
us to land in five other military bases?
No, I'm asking why you chose that this was the limit of the military operation. But to your point that you just made, that, that Maduro was not the legitimate president.
He was the guy who was claiming to be the president.
Right. Well, the opposition...
He was the top target.
Now, obviously, they can't just give the Trump administration a win. They can't do that. Actually, if you try to do that, it won't go over well. They have to push back as much as they can. They're doing just that now. Listen, folks, you don't have to agree with it. That's not where I'm trying to argue here. I'm trying to argue the fact that this was an incredible job done by our military. An incredible job done by our military. And the angles here, I think, are quite impressive. You know, as soon as I saw the reports, obviously, that Maduro was picked up and brought to the United States, I thought, well, this is great news for the Venezuelans who had to flee because, well, they couldn't live under Maduro. Well, guess what? It's time for them to go back. And interesting enough, we're obviously digging into this a bit more, but, and I'll tell you the DHS response that I received about this soundbite in just a little bit, but I think the secretary of DHS might have slipped up a little bit, and I understand why the media thought that she meant that if you're here right now and you're under protective status and you're Venezuelan, that you could apply for asylum. That's not exactly what she was referring to. And it was a slip. It was a slip. But let's listen to her exact words in clip five.
Well, Venezuela today is more free than it was yesterday, and it's going to continue to be that way as long as President Trump is in the White House and is making sure that he's protecting the interests of the American people, because that ripple effect will continue to bring that kind of liberty to Venezuela as well. These programs, we're bringing integrity back to them. The decisions are made in conjunction with the State Department, with the White House, and then we at Homeland Security implement them and make sure that they are followed through. So every individual that was under TPS has the opportunity to apply for refugee status, and that evaluation will go forward, but we need to make sure that our programs actually mean something and that we're following the law. And that's how that decision with TPS was made.
All right, so Noe made a slip up there. She's not telling them that they could claim asylum and that they're going to get it. She's trying to say you could go through the process, but the reality of it is you don't have a legitimate asylum claim anymore. I reached out yesterday to DHS when we saw that, and ultimately they said that more than half a million Venezuelans can now go home to a country that they love. Adios. No, but seriously, folks, they are celebrating the streets. There's no reason for them to claim status here. And it's very, very important for us to keep reminding people that, yes, now it is safe for them to go back. Thanks to the Trump administration. Now, obviously, this isn't going to happen overnight, but the reality of it is they don't have an argument in court. Their dictator's gone. Interesting enough, though, and I got a little laughter out of this one. Take a look at this document that was just filed in court. This was filed yesterday. And, of course, it's the DOJ telling Judge Boasberg that due to the Maduro operation, it will need more time to determine how to provide due process to Venezuelans deported under the Alien Enemies Act. Now, there looks to be a typo in that document, although it is a court filing, 2025, they meant 2026. But folks, we're all going to be doing that for the next couple of days. So don't hold it against them. All right, guys, we have more to dive into in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. Like I said, we're going to dive into the military angle of all of this, how our military was able to do such a dangerous task with zero casualties. I actually just heard back from the Pentagon in regards to how many American troops were hurt. They will not give me an exact figure. They have referred me to the White House, and I will be asking the White House for a response in just a moment. So we'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, though, we got our eyes on Minnesota because the governor, Tim Walz, well, according to reports, he actually might be bowing out of his reelection campaign. That press conference is expected to begin at 11 a.m. Eastern time. We'll bring it to you once it begins. But we've got a lineup of incredible guests joining you in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. Buckle up. We've got more truth to expose. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we're giving away the Atomic Defense whenever you make a supplement purchase. So head on over to the shop right now and make sure you snag some of this over at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. And every time you make a purchase at the shop, you're helping us stay on air. So we greatly appreciate it when you do, of course. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com. Nitric Boost back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal. We've got a lot going on here. We're excited that you guys are joining us now. I'm trying to keep up with the White House right now to get a response in regards to how many of our service members were injured in that incident, obviously, the capture of Nicolas Maduro. So that's what I'm up to right now. I am communicating between the Pentagon. The Pentagon just pushed me over to the White House, and the White House is doing just that. So we got that going for us right now. We're waiting for Matt Tardio to join us in just a moment. They'll tell me when he's ready to go. We've also got our eyes right now on that Manhattan courthouse, because that's where Nicolas Maduro will be shuffled into court with his wife. And we expect to hear from them shortly as well in regards to that. We also are waiting to see if Tim Walz is going to be stepping down from his reelection campaign. As many of you guys know, the fraud has been opened up pretty widely at this point. And he is, possibly stepping away. So there's a lot going on over here, and we're excited that you're jumping on with us. Also, you know, we're going to keep our eyes on all of the latest developing between Venezuela, China, Russia. You know, I love the fact that he was arrested during this moment when, the Chinese sent their own in to have meetings with him. So the following day, he was arrested. Sends a signal to China. And as many of you guys know, we talked about on this show, China has been advancing on the region. So we'll continue to do that. Let's jump to a separate Let's play clip eight.
Due to seizure.
So when the president says we will run Venezuela, you are confident that there are actual American assets helping to do that? Is that how I should?
I'm confident that we have very good insight into Venezuela and other adversaries, foreign nations and terrorist groups around the world.
That's why the president.
That's why the president has such confidence.
Delcy Rodriguez spoke yesterday with Russia's top diplomat. They are in contact with Russia. The defense minister has deep, deep ties to Russia. Are you okay with this open-ended commitment to keep forces as they are? But there is a significant military buildup all around South America right now.
Yes.
You're comfortable with that?
What an unpleasant woman. See, here's my problem, right? Why are we sitting here doing interviews with Brennan? I believe it's her name. The CBS anchor from Meet the Press. She constantly, whenever she has Republicans on the show, she's constantly the one who's being the aggressor in the interview. Republicans, though. And this is my other issue with it. She does this, and you can just pay attention to her facial expressions. She's nasty. She's hostile. And Republicans still flock on her show. I don't understand why you're going on there in the first place. She's biased. She's looking for a gotcha moment. She's a scumbag. She's not trying to have a fair shake in an interview and get your perspective on things. She's trying to challenge people in these positions, which is fine if you're actually doing so as a fair and balanced journalist, but it's only going one way. And here's my real problem with all of this. We have a lot of issues in regards to these left-leaning hacks trying their very best to disguise themselves as journalists. But most importantly, why do Republicans flock to these shows? They're so reluctant to go on conservative shows that aren't on cable news, but they flock to shows like that. Now, obviously, I get it. It's a huge audience. But would their audience be so big if you didn't make your appearances on those shows? I don't think so. So again, this is a major issue that these Republicans go on her show. She has zero respect for them. And then what's supposed to happen here? You just sit there and you let her get nasty with you? I'm so over it. Because when you ask these people for interviews and they come on shows and come on networks like InfoWars, they are very hostile. But they'll go and they'll sit at a desk with that woman who's clearly just looking for a gotcha moment, who's clearly not giving them a fair shake. So I lack empathy. But this is what's going on right now. And again, we're just standing by and waiting as Republicans just flock onto these shows and pretend like they're trying to give them a fair shake. All right, I want to turn gears up a little bit. Let's go to New York City. You know, I was laughing. I know many of you guys probably saw it. Zohran Mamdani, who's now apparently the New York City mayor, but we could have prevented this if the Trump administration would have denaturalized him for being a communist, which they could have done. But unfortunately, they didn't do that. Hopefully, it's not just because they're hoping that the midterms are a big win if they can compare themselves and run off the DC, what this guy's doing, vote for us platform. But anyways, he's running New York City these days. And I was laughing this weekend because he was trying his best to make it seem like he's gotten a briefing in regards to Venezuela. And this is the issue, right? Because he's pretending, he's trying to pretend like he has some type of insight into all of this. Now, again, I don't know why we're going to New York City. I get it. Probably the financial transactions were made in New York City, but why not just bring it to the Southern District of Florida? where you get some Venezuelans in there. Not a fan of the fact that it's in New York, but apparently Madani is over here and he's loving this and he's touting this as I've been briefed. Honey, you have zero to do with this. Yes, he's being housed in New York City, but that is not your lane. And of course, all the communists are piling in. They don't want him to be capped, or they want him released. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but you know, Zohra Mahdani, the members of his cabinet are obviously all communists. And again, it's got me on edge. But if you're someone who owns property in New York City, you should be really nervous right now. Because in clip 9, you're going to hear from New York City mayor's tenant director. And she's ultimately saying something very, very interesting. Listen to her words and the message she has for those white individuals that own property in New York City.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good. And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity will require that we think about it differently. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but some POC families who are homeowners as well, are going to have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Oh, so what are you going to do? You're just going to run around New York City and start grabbing up property? No, what they're going to do is they're going to make it unbearable. They're going to create laws in New York City that forfeit over these properties. Now, obviously, she's very clear there. She's going to be going after white property owners. That's a big one. That's a big one. Now, as many of you guys know, I saw this and quickly flagged it for Harmy Dillon because, again, she would be the one to take this woman on. But why are we doing this in the first place? Why are we allowing this to happen? Why did we allow this to happen? We're capable of capturing communists in foreign countries, but here in our own country, we don't do anything? They're going to be seizing property. That's what she's telling you. Collective good, that's garbage. That's a communist trigger word. Not to sound all fluffy and nice, but it's not. It's not. And when you look at the polling information, it's devastating. You know, New York is absolutely devastating right now. 56% of New Yorkers, according to one of the latest polls, actually support this. They support Zohra Mahdani's branding of democratic socialism, probably because they're low IQ. They have no idea what it actually means. It sounds all fluffy and nice, like, yeah, the government will help you. It's just infuriating that this is what's going on now in this country. Interesting enough, Lindsey Graham hasn't really found a war that he's not ready to ramp up. We'll play that clip for you in a minute. Matt Tardio is joining us right now. He's a podcaster veteran and a former law enforcement officer, and he joins us to react to all things related to Venezuela. Welcome back, my friend. We're excited to have you on. I wanted to play a couple of clips for you today, but I want to highlight how, and I get your reaction first, to the incredible job done by Delta Force on the ground, 88 minutes, captured Maduro, had him up in the air and out of there, and not a single American soldier was injured in any of this. Our troops made it out. Yes, there are several injured. I'm waiting for the numbers from the White House. I just spoke with them, so they're hopefully going to get it back to us shortly. But I mean, Matt, this is absolutely incredible for our military to be able to execute something like this, especially given what we saw after the Iranian strikes as well. Not a single American hurt in that either. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, just like we saw over inside of Iran, it's the same thing over inside Venezuela. This was not something that happened overnight. This was not something that was just randomly thrown together. This is something that had been in the plans for a very long time. And I think Americans get kind of confused on what it is that's going on inside of the Pentagon on a daily basis or what's happening over inside of our intel community. I mean, constantly we're developing plans. Constantly we're working on, you know, things for the future and anything to come just in case the president wants to see it happen. And so you've got plans that are stacked up for ever that's over inside the Pentagon. And so I think what this actually shows is the full capabilities of the United States military. And over the 20 years of the global war on terror, we were able to like hone these skills to a degree that I don't think any other country is really capable of on this planet. There might be a couple out there that can come close. But when we start talking about the full spectrum of what the U.S. is actually capable of bringing to the table, this is what you're looking at right here. I mean, this is something that was flying underneath his nose for years, probably in the making. And you saw it just come all the way through. And it's absolutely amazing that we were able to get it done. And while the focus might be on, you know, the Delta Force operators that were on the ground to be able to get that done, I mean, you have so many other factors that go in there. A lot of people that aren't even going to be recognized for all of the things that they have done in order to make that happen. You know, if you think that Delta kind of did this on their own, you're out of your dang mind, right? You're talking about interagency cooperation. Mm-hmm. On a massive scale that was able to get this done. You're talking about on the ground intelligence. You're talking about aerial intelligence. You're talking about all sorts of things, not to mention just the air defense capabilities that had to be overcome in order to get those helicopters and stuff in there. So, I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely phenomenal. And I think even Marco Rubio, it may have been Marco Rubio or Pete Hegseth, I forget which one, that said it was basically, you know, a triggers based. So they were on the ground waiting, you know, for something to happen, for him to be in a particular location in order to make all of these, you know, things align. And you've got everything that's on the table. Everybody's ready to go, waiting for like all of the pieces to be in alignment. And then as soon as that trigger is met, they're able to just kick it off like that. And I think it's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. So Matt, I also wanted to just jump in here real quick because we just got breaking news into the newsroom. Tim Walz is not going to be not seeking his reelection. As many of you guys know, he has been officially taken down by the fraud campaign that's been going on. Somalians obviously running rampant and allegedly committing billions of dollars in fraud in his state. So that just coming in now by Fox News, they're saying that he is not seeking reelection anymore as governor of Minnesota. We'll bring you that press conference that's expected to begin in just a few. It should begin in about an hour and 15 minutes, but when he goes live, we'll bring that right to you. But Matt, you know, I want to keep also highlighting again and get back to this Venezuela topic, but there were reports in Reuters, and so I always, you know, kind of tap dance around this lightly, but this is pretty impressive that they were able to replicate Nicolas Maduro's safe house. And they repeatedly did mm-hmm. practice drills on there. And it's mm-hmm. quite impressive. The CIA even having, according to them, someone in Maduro's inner circle. And they were monitoring his movements. And then they gave up that information, obviously, to the CIA. You talked about how extensive this is to do this and to carry mm-hmm. this out. Do you think it was all U.S. government officials? Or maybe there was someone in the private sector who might have sent a couple of guys in there to help as well?
You know, I'm not going to disclose how all of these things are done, right? And some of it I'm not even privy to. I know how quite a bit of it is done, but I'm not going to disclose how it's done for obvious reasons. You know, you don't want people to get killed.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the dangerous parts that goes into talking about these, you know, and people want information here in the United States of America. They want to know how all of this stuff is done. They automatically want to know. But I mean, quite frankly, there's a reason that, you know, the American public doesn't get to know. And that's because you will get people killed. If these secrets are kind of divulged and thrown out on how it actually goes down. But, you know, with them coming out stating that we had somebody within Maduro's inner circle, I want you to think about that. You know, you're talking about a human being on the ground that is giving up information for what this place looks like. And, you know, obviously CAG or Delta Force had a mock-up of this building that they were going through and they were rehearsing over and over and over. Well, I want you to think, if you have a person that's on the ground that's giving up information for what's inside this building or what this building consists of, and for us to actually take it and reconstruct the entire thing, you know, almost to scale likely, you know, for them to be able to conduct rehearsals and know, you know, every single corner and every single aspect of that building and where they're going to be heading, just the amount of, I'm not talking like human intelligence. I'm just talking about like mental intelligence it takes to take information that somebody's giving you and reconstruct an entire building after never walking through there, and to have like America's most elite operators going through, and just executing to such a degree that we don't take a single casualty. It's amazing, you know, absolutely amazing how all that's done.
Yeah. And I want to also, cause I know last time we had you on, we spoke about the many angles going into all of this, but most importantly, we spoke about Iran, and I want to play clip 13 for you because Eric Prince does an incredible job at outlining how Iran's wrapped up into all of this, especially with a drone mm-hmm. factory apparently in Venezuela. Take a listen.
Venezuela was actually one of the mullah's best strategic partners. Do you think this is you think this is linked? The timing of this is linked to what's happening in Iran?
Look, this timing is based on what needed to happen in Venezuela. The fact is the Iranians had a significant presence in Venezuela, including a drone factory making a lot of the same long-range drones that were used to attack U.S. ships in the Gulf of Aden off of Yemen and to attack Israel and other U.S. targets throughout the Middle East. The other thing to be watching for is the Chinese are planning some big quarantine exercise where they surround Taiwan with all their ships. And if they actually try to close it off, the question is, will the Navy guarantee freedom of navigation in the South China Sea and around Taiwan? Will they have to do convoys to escort merchant ships to breach that Chinese PLA Navy quarantine? That's the next flashpoint you should be watching for.
So it's very obviously interesting. And anytime Eric Prince talks about this, I keep my ear to it because there's usually a lot to it. And he seems to have his thumb all over it. But, you know, Matt, I think it's really impressive when we talk about how important this was. I know a lot of people out there are pushing back on the administration and they think that this only has to do with oil. But there's so much more to this than just oil. Obviously, there's Iran's influence and how close they were obviously coming. But there's also, you know, the China and Russia angle to all of this. So what do you make of what Eric Prince is saying?
Yeah, Eric Prince is scratching at the surface of what's actually going on inside Venezuela. I mean, we could go through the indictment and talk about all of the legal authorities, you know, that allowed us to conduct this operation to go in and grab Maduro and get him back here to the United States of America. But I think those legal authorities that we went after really are just kind of an excuse for the U.S. to get him out of there and to get him back here in the United States of America. And I'm not saying that we're wrong in doing so. I think it's absolutely just and correct in order to do so just based on what's in his indictment within itself. But on a grand scale, on a global scale, when we take a look at what Russia is doing, what China is doing, and what Iran is doing, the U.S. has to intervene at some point. Russia's shadow fleet, and it's not just the United States, by the way, that's doing this. We also had Poland go in just a couple days ago and take over one of Russia's shadow fleet. So it's not just the United States, but Iran having drones and a drone factory over there, yes, that is a problem, right? Some of the Shahed drones and stuff like that are being produced, Iran's been outsourcing that for years, primarily to Russia. But, you know, the IRGC of Iran's militant wing that answers directly to the Ayatollah over there has been operating some of their own shadow fleet going over, picking up this Venezuelan oil and moving it up over to China. China has been financing Maduro. You know, Maduro was in debt to China for a very long period of time. And he's been able to finance that debt using that oil. And the IRGC is moving that oil up over to China. And they're getting kickbacks for it that are funding their uranium enrichment program, their ballistic missile program, funding terrorism. You heard Eric Prince talk about, you know, freedom of movement along the seas and trade routes and things of that nature. That's something that China had been doing for years. You know, this, and again, stretches back over a decade where you have China that was building islands over in the South China Sea. And then they use international waters because they now claim, you know, these islands, these man-made islands that they built, out in the middle of the ocean. And they say, okay, well, X amount of miles off of the coast is no longer, you know, international water. It belongs to China. So it affects trade routes that way. And so he's talking about the exact same thing, you know, when you're looking at all of these different countries that China's going after right now. And so when we look at things on a global scale, what we see is we see Russia, we see Iran, and we see China. And what we see down in the center underneath all of them is Venezuela that's kind of operating as this little hub that's allowing them to keep up with their operations. So this wasn't just a blow to narco-terrorism. This was a blow to Russia and its oil, which again, 30% of Russian oil, 30% of Russia's GDP is made up of their oil. We see China that's benefiting greatly from this, and we see the IRGC who's destabilizing the Middle East through proxy terror organizations. And on top of that, you also have their uranium enrichment and ballistic missile capabilities, which, you know, there's a lot of people in the intelligence community that are worried that Iran's trying to develop a ballistic missile that's going to be capable of reaching out and touching the EU. And so this is a broader, you know, global scale operation that actually just took place that we've got nailed down pretty tight on narco-terrorism. So the second and third order effects of this are way deeper than, you know, just affecting narco-terrorism here in the United States.
And what do you make of, we see what's going on right now in Iran. What do you make of the latest going on right now in Iran? Do you think this is related? Because the timing is pretty impeccable, right? We see the people protesting throughout Iran right now, possibly running out their leadership. There are reports that they might be looking to flee to Russia. Obviously, that's very common. But what do you make of it? Do you think they're related?
Yeah, it's absolutely related. You know, I pinged this a couple months ago on my show, and I said, when you see events over inside Venezuela kick off, when you see the United States military starting to conduct actions over inside Venezuela, you better believe that something's about to go down over inside of Iran as well. And it's not a secret. Mossad's very open about it, having operatives over inside of Iran. And even during the 12-day war, you know, we saw images of Mossad agents that were on the ground. We saw entire drone factories that were being built. There was explosions and stuff like that that people couldn't account for as far as airstrikes go. And what we had was a bunch of Afghans that looked like they were building these drone factories over inside of Iran. And Iran had accused Mossad of, you know, being behind all of this. And obviously the CIA is going to be balled in there as well. And then Iran ends up shipping all these Afghans back over to Afghanistan, allegedly, right? I never saw images of them being shipped back over into Afghanistan. But, yeah, when we see this, color revolution that's taking place over inside of Iran, we've got, you know, I don't think people realize how big of a deal Iran, this Iranian uprising really is. This Iranian uprising is huge. You know, when you talk about peace in the Middle East, you cannot have peace in the Middle East without the Ayatollah and the Iranian regime being removed. I mean, completely and totally dismantled. But for the people of Iran to raise up on the scale, now we're seeing, you know, paramilitary locations such as police stations that are being burnt to the ground. The people are armed. I'm seeing and hearing reports of gunfights that are taking place on the streets. You've got, you know, images of the Ayatollah and the president, you know, being burned and all of that stuff that's taking place. And I read a report yesterday that it looks like Israel is gearing up for an operation against Iran as well. And of course, we've got massive movements of U.S. military troops. Well, I would say massive movements, but very key strategic assets of the United States military that look like they're being moved over to that region as well. And so when we're doing this, you know, knocking out Venezuela is one tiny portion, but removing the Ayatollah is another. When we talk about the war that's taking place over inside of Ukraine between Russia and Ukraine, Iran was a very key player in all of that. You know, one, you had Iran that was providing weapons technology over to Russia. But in addition to that weapons technology, something else that ended up taking part between Iran and Russia last year that a lot of people don't know is you also had Russia set up a new finance system that is going to basically circumvent U.S. sanctions and international sanctions. And they've been trying that out in between Russia and Iran. And so in my opinion, that's kind of like a precursor to BRICS developing their own currency and getting that out to where it's completely and totally, you know, immune to any sanctions that the West could throw at them in the future. And if you have a BRICS currency that comes out, a lot of people go, well, you know, the BRICS currency, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's a pipe dream. Who knows if they end up developing it? But when you have that BRICS currency that comes out and you look at some of these BRICS nations like Egypt, you look at, you know, Saudi Arabia, who's still sitting on the cusp of wanting to become a BRICS nation. They haven't turned it down, but they haven't developed it. You know, they haven't said no, but they haven't said yes yet. You know, if Saudi Arabia was to become a BRICS nation and they're just going to trade their oil on this new BRICS currency, you're talking about massive inflation that's going to take place, on an international scale. The moment, you know, BRICS comes out and says, if you're going to trade oil coming out of Saudi Arabia, if you're going to be traveling through the Suez Canal,
Matt, hang right there. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to keep you on for a couple more minutes. Plus I have Mark Kelly breaking news in a moment. We're going to give to you in just a second. So don't go anywhere.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there. Concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do. But what are the other benefits? Roxas Secondary Emerging Benefits improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. All right, we got some breaking news for you in regards to that investigation that was launched into Senator Mark Kelly. As many of you guys know, he was trying his best to tell our service members not to follow orders if they deem it as unlawful. He did so in a video, and, well, it's not going well for him. The Department of War just sent over quite a lengthy statement. It's up on my X page if you want to read it, all of it, because there's so much there. But ultimately, the Department of War has initiated retirement-grade determination proceedings under which they can reduce his retirement grade, his retired grade, I should say. So that's his rank. Let's bring Matt back in, because obviously, Matt, you are a vet. You'll understand this more than myself. So break down this latest update on all of this. What does this mean for Mark Kelly?
It's a huge slap to the face. So when you are retired from the United States military, such as myself or Mark Kelly, you are still bound to the UCMJ. You know, you are receiving pay from the United States government as a retired member of the United States military. Mark Kelly, most interestingly, ended up retiring from what I've read so far, as a lieutenant general. Mm-hmm. And they, in the Department of War statement, ended up knocking him down to a captain, which is massive. That means they found him guilty of the things in which he was at least accused of. And so when we end up seeing these proceedings, we're going to learn more on how he ended up getting there. But this is absolutely unprecedented. I'm trying to think of there is no other U.S. senator, you know, that ended up getting tried for this, that ended up getting knocked down on this level. But what it does absolutely do is, you know, I think it's very, this is huge for the Trump administration, for the Department of War, for everybody else. We've got laws on the books in this country. Right. And these laws are not meant to be played with. They're not meant to be bent. They're most certainly not meant to be broken. And you most certainly should not try to undermine the commander in chief of the United States military. And that is particularly what Mark Kelly did. And that is exactly what they looked into and what they dug into. And a jury of his peers, a judge, everybody has agreed that Mark Kelly has done these things, and they saw fit to demote him. So he's no longer a lieutenant general, as they've noted very, very carefully in their post. It appears to me as if he is he's now a captain. So his pay is going to get docked and everything else. But more importantly, he's going to have a blemish on his service record now, to which we will see what they ended up finding him guilty of in order to, downgrade him. But that's huge. That's massive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is massive. And the Pentagon also adding to this that if he'd like, he could definitely try to submit a written response, for he has about 30 days to do so in regards to his retirement grade determination process that we all see being played out now. But yeah, he could challenge it if he wants to, they're saying, and we'll kind of wait and see how that all kind of pans out. But I mean, Matt, I think that's massive, massive news, and it's interesting as we keep our eye on all of this. I don't think Mark Kelly really sized this up too well. I think he thought he was going to put out this video and it wasn't going to get much in the way of pushback on all of this. But as we watch what unfolded in Venezuela, I mean, he possibly, people listened to him, they might have not actually carried out what we saw get carried out in Venezuela, and they might have claimed something stupid. That's like right. International law or something like that. So this was a really, really important issue for them to jump on. I'll give you about 30 seconds. Your reaction, though, to that, because again, they could have just said, all right, well, we deem this as illegal and not participated in this because Mark Kelly told us to.
Yeah, that's dangerous as hell. You know, it's extremely dangerous as hell. And the United States military is not stupid. You get briefed on all of these things from day one inside of the United States military. You learn about it in basic training, but it's not for things such as this. You know, it's not for lawful orders that are coming down from the commander in chief of the United States of America that get filtered through the entire legal process and legal system before you get told to go over and conduct an operation. It's talking about, you know, that law in particular is talking about, you know, if you're a private on the battlefield and your lieutenant tells you to just start shooting civilians, right? That's where that comes into place. It doesn't come into play when you're talking about conducting legitimate operations. Mark Kelly knew exactly what he was doing, and the Department of War found that out. And I'm very happy to see that they ended up demoting him. I wish they would have just done it even further. I mean, quite honestly, I wish they would have like ripped him of all of his rank.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure there's more to come on Mark Kelly, and I'm hoping he learned his lesson. Matt, stay put. I want to ask you a couple more questions in regards to Cuba, because I know that was on people's mind yesterday, and we just learned, obviously, that there were 32 Cubans killed in all of this. So we'll keep it on Venezuela, and we'll dive into all of the latest details on that. So buckle up, folks. There's more to discuss in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, make sure you download the Alex Jones app over at the App Store if you haven't done so already. AlexJonesApp.com is the easiest place to go to do just that.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We had a little bit of breaking news coming your way. Speaking to the Department of War, they have just ruled in regards to Senator Mark Kelly. I know many of you probably aren't very fond of these days, but it's good news. Well, he's got a reduction of his retirement grade. And so that is the very latest on that front. We'll obviously dive into that as we learn more, but that is a statement being given over to me by the Pentagon, and we'll keep following that. But I want to go back because we have Matt Tardio still on, and if you don't follow him on X, I'd highly recommend you do just that. It's Anger Tab is how you find him on X. He's a podcaster, veteran, former law enforcement officer. But I wanted to get his take on this because I see a lot of people are talking in regards to Venezuela and the capture of Nicolas Maduro. They're very concerned about the oil angle to all of this. Now, take a listen, because Marco Rubio is kind of adding to those concerns in clip 14. Take a listen.
How do you plan to run the country?
Well, first of all, I think the important thing to point out is that the key to what that regime relies on and is their economy fueled by oil. And right now it is an oil industry that is backwards and really needs a lot of help and work in terms of it. And not only that, but it doesn't help the people. None of the money from the oil gets to the people. It's all stolen by the people that are on the top there. And so that's why we have a quarantine. There's a quarantine right now in which sanctioned oil shipments, so there's a boat and that boat is under U.S. sanctions. We go get a court order. We will seize it. That remains in place. And that's a tremendous amount of leverage that will continue to be in place until we see changes that not just further the national interest of the United States, which is number one, but also that lead to a better future for the people of Venezuela. And so that's the sort of control the president is pointing to when he says that. We continue with that quarantine, and we expect to see that there will be changes, not just in the way the oil industry is run for the benefit of the people, but also so that they stop the drug trafficking, so that we no longer have these gang problems, so that they kick the FARC and the ELN out, and that they no longer cozy up to Hezbollah and Iran in our own hemisphere.
All right, Matt. So obviously there's a lot here, but people are deeply concerned in regards to the oil angle to all of this. You know, I know Venezuela is sitting on a massive amount of oil. They have about 303 billion barrels worth of crude, and they are fifth in the world. That's according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Are you concerned in regards to us using their oil as leverage?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. When we start talking about, you know, the possibilities of war with everything that China, Russia, and Iran are doing, I would rather the U.S. go in and remove Maduro and use oil as leverage in order to force them into a better geopolitical position than dropping bombs. And I think most Americans would probably agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's true. And I think that's a great point to bring up. I wanted to also get your take on this because I think a lot of people are floating other countries out there that could be next in line. And, you know, President Trump obviously making it his mission to go after drugs. Specifically, though, he has to address the drugs coming into our country from Mexico. That's a big, big issue, obviously. And if he's taking on Venezuela, you got to go to Mexico next. It just seems to make sense, given that's where most of it are coming in from. But President Trump was asked specifically about that in clip 15. Take a listen.
By the way, you have to do something with Mexico. Mexico has to get their act together because they're pouring through Mexico, and we're going to have to do something. We'd love Mexico to do it. They're capable of doing it, but unfortunately, the cartels are very strong in Mexico.
I remember one time you actually, speaking of Mexico, I asked you about Claudia Sheinbaum, and you told me at one point you had offered to send U.S. troops into Mexico to combat drug trafficking there. Is that something you would
like to
Claudia. About?
I think she's a terrific person. I would say every single time I talk to her, I offer to send troops.
And she's just not willing?
She's concerned. She's a little afraid. The cartels are running Mexico. Whether you like it or not, it's not nice to say, but the cartels are running Mexico.
All right. Do you think President Trump is going to go after the cartels directly, given the fact he just told you that the president of Mexico isn't running things? We've known that for a while, but that she's afraid. It really highlights that, yeah, there is an active threat there, and they're not going to get the government's help. So the U.S. just needs to act if they truly want to take on these drug wars.
Yeah, I think the U.S. will have to act against some of the cartel organizations over inside Mexico. I don't think the Mexican president is going to get behind it. She had made a statement back when we saw some of the uprisings over in Mexico not that long ago, just a couple of weeks ago. And she had made a statement about it not being fair to the cartels and they're not given due process. And you're essentially assassinating, killing people by going in and arresting them because it's going to, you know, ultimately result in a gunfight. And I'm probably misquoting her a little bit there. Just beware viewers. But at the same time, yeah, she doesn't want to actually go after the cartels. And she stated it outright. If you read over Maduro's indictment, which is why this is kind of so important, is Maduro was partnered up with those cartels over inside Mexico. And as you heard Marco Rubio mention, the FARC as well. And so what you had was kind of this little triangle of organizations that were working between Venezuela, Mexico, and Colombia. The FARC has been operating over inside Colombia, and out of the FARC ended up coming two more narco-terrorist organizations designated FTOs by the United States of America. Some special forces group has been working pretty hard with the Colombian military to go after the FARC, and the Colombian military has been going after the FARC for quite some time. But with all of that being said, knocking out Maduro is a huge chunk of that. And he's kind of the low-hanging fruit, if you will, when it goes into that, going over and ripping Maduro out. Because, you know, when we start talking about drugs, and if you read over Maduro's indictment, what you're going to see is you're going to see Maduro issuing diplomatic passports, and diplomatic flights and things like that are facilitating the trafficking of drugs and the proceeds thereof to and from the United States over into Mexico, which are then funding the cocaine and whatnot down inside of Colombia, the money that's going directly into the FARC. And so ripping out Maduro, you're essentially ripping out a huge chunk, just kind of how we talked about ripping out Maduro rips out a huge chunk for China, Russia, and Iran. Well, ripping out Maduro does the same thing for that narco trafficking world. You know, people look at, Venezuela, and I do as well, you know, when we talk about it, we say, well, Venezuela's not in the top five of countries that end up shipping drugs into the United States of America. But what they are is they are a hub. Essentially, you know, Maduro is operating as a hub because he had this state power in order to do things like diplomatic passports, diplomatic flights, and transfers of money and personnel in order to make those things happen. So by taking him out, you do take a huge blow to not just the FARC over in Colombia, but also to, cartels down inside of Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing how this all plays out. And I did see the president yesterday also alluding to the fact that Colombia might be next up as well, because this is all obviously intertwined. So that would make sense there. But, you know, we're learning obviously through the Cuban government that 32 Cubans were killed in all of this. And that's because they were actually guarding Maduro. I remember a couple of days ago, actually, I'm pretty sure it was Eric Prince who also said this, that the Cubans were involved in this and that they were actually the ones guarding Maduro. So I thought that was a really interesting element to all of this. But Lindsey Graham, while he was aboard that flight, you see that he's standing right next to President Trump, and it just, you know, personally makes me cringe. But Lindsey Graham was talking about possibly going after Cuba next. But President Trump yesterday in clip 17 kind of disputed that. Take a listen.
the go-to, and you were just talking about Cuba and what could come next there. Are you considering U.S. action in Cuba?
We're not. I think it's just going to fall. I don't think we need any action. It looks like it's going down. It's going down for the count. You ever watch a fight?
I have.
They go down for the count. And Cuba looks like it's going down. What do you think, Howard?
It's going down. They've lived off of Venezuela, right? The economics were all Venezuelan, right? That's why you said the protective force of Maduro was Cuban, right? They were Cuban guards. So they were just paying Cuba when that money stops.
Don't hire them in the future, man.
Yeah, they weren't very good.
People from our country who were forced to come over, they really didn't want, you know, they were from Cuba. People from different countries like to stay in those countries, whatever, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And people want to go back to Cuba, and they want to work in Cuba, but Cuba's going down for the count. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right, so obviously President Trump not really aligning with Lindsey Graham there when he was trying to fearmonger a bit. But do you think that Cuba's next to go down financially in all of this since now they've been cut off from Venezuela?
So you remember how I mentioned all those things that happened kind of behind the scenes with the United States prior to Maduro getting ripped out? Let's not make any mistake about it. I have no doubt the United States intel community has some other plans for Cuba as well. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at different things that we can do to start taking down some of these organizations, there's a whole array, you know, that the United States can bring to the table when it comes to what we want to do. And likely some of those things that are going to end up going down in Cuba is kind of like what we're seeing going down over inside of Iran, in order to start getting him removed from power and start to change the entire, you know, atmosphere over inside Cuba. You know, my next prediction for what Trump may or may not do as far as military action goes is going to be in Colombia. There's a lot of tension between him and Colombia right now, between the United States and Colombia. Trump has, you know, accused them of not doing enough to go after the FARC. I think Lindsey Graham might be fearmongering a little bit when it goes into Cuba. And it also goes to show you, you know, the people over inside Venezuela, when we talk about the bodyguards being Cuban. Like Maduro himself could even trust local nationals inside Venezuela, like Venezuelan citizens, to be his close, you know, bodyguards. And so he's got to bring in people from Cuba in order to do that. And of course, Cuba is going to turn around and, oh, you killed all of our citizens. No, you were protecting Maduro and you were doing it for a reason. Reminds me of when I was running around Central and East Africa. And because I'm a white guy, you know, I'd be offered jobs all the time. And this isn't a joke. You know, they just don't trust their own over there. They, what is the term that they use? Mzungu, something. I think that was the term that they have for white people over there. But because you're white, you can be trusted because you have money and several other things, versus being from the local population. You can't be trusted. You could be bought. All of these different things can go into you. So Maduro surrounded himself with people that were bought and paid for, you know, by Cuba, that were going to be loyal to him because they were likely making a hefty amount of money for doing so. And, you know, unfortunately for them, they ended up giving their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think that they really took the threat of President Trump, but President Trump was issuing very seriously. I think that's very, very clear. And I think you're 100% correct when you talk about Colombia being next up. Before you go, though, I did want to get your take on Greenland, because that's also very popular right now in the news cycle. People are talking about possibly the United States getting involved there. Obviously, that's quite important for us in the U.S. I'll give you the U.K. take on all of this in just a bit. Let's play clip 18.
I will say this about Greenland. We need Greenland from a national security situation. It's so strategic. Right now, Greenland is covered with Russian and Chinese ships all over the place. We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security. And Denmark is not going to be able to do it, I can tell you. You know what Denmark did recently to boost up security in Greenland? They added one more dog sled. It's true.
Sir,
they thought that was a great move.
What would the justification be for a plane to Greenland?
I don't want to talk about Greenland now. I just say this. We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security. And the European Union needs us to have it. And they know that.
All right. So obviously President Trump making it very clear on where he stands on Greenland. Denmark not very happy with that, though. And the British Prime Minister, not very happy with it either. Keir Starmer coming out and saying that he doesn't support the United States getting their hands on Greenland. He's actually going to back Denmark and all of this to make sure that doesn't happen. But again, Starmer, not really a tough guy. I used a very colorful word for him over the weekend, and I think people really enjoyed it, but I won't say it on air. But, you know, it's just sitting back and watching these people pretend like you know, President Trump isn't capable of doing it. I mean, Kiermaier is someone who's probably be worried about his own country right now. It's been conquered.
Thank you. I was just
Muslims.
About to say that.
Yeah.
I was just about to say that before you did. Yeah. Maybe gotcha. They ought to worry about what they got going on their streets before they start worried about what the United States is doing. Because, you know, well, hell, you know, I say that today, but over inside of New York City, you also have the call to prayer being blasted right now, you know, which I think is hilarious. Cause imagine being Maduro being trucked through the streets of New York City by the United States of America and hearing the Islamic call to prayer in the background. And then, you know, that man probably hasn't slept very much since he got ripped out of his bed in the middle of the night. But, yeah, I mean, originally when I looked at Greenland, I was like, yeah, I just don't see that being possible. But the more I've looked into the Russia-Chinese situation, and you heard Trump, you know, he flat out said it. You've got Russian and Chinese ships all over the place. And I would tell your viewers, because there's just not enough time for us to really dig into it right now, but to look into the Russian shadow fleets and what they've been doing over to the EU and why countries such as Poland, which is why I brought it up, have taken a stance. And if we start having that stuff happening over here in the United States of America, it's going to be a problem. You know, it's going to be a very big problem. And again, I would rather have us doing leveraging certain things on the global scale versus dropping bombs. I don't think a global conflict would be very good right now, in particular. So I think what the president is doing is he's trying to reposition the United States. I think over the last several decades, because of how the United States infrastructure has been, you know, placed on the global economy and the global scale, you know, you start talking about, data centers in the, Asia Pacific, or, you know, the Indo Pacific region and things like that were taking place. We were very vulnerable to China, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of our different systems and stuff like that. And so when we were talking about, you know, looking at Greenland being very strategic to the United States of America and for our safety and security, I don't think he's lying about that. You know, the EU is kind of in a poor situation because of their location, you know, to Russia, generally speaking, with waterways that kind of connect everything. And so they're able to have that shadow fleet, but by taking Greenland and having Greenland kind of, I don't know how they plan on doing it, but I would tend to agree with them a little bit, you know. China and Russia have been very bold over the last, you know, several years, and it keeps getting worse and worse as it comes to the United States of America. Let's not forget about the weather balloons that were floating over top of the United States of America. That was a very interesting conversation for me to have with one of my buddies that's pretty high up in the Space Force about what was kind of taking place behind the scenes there. But, you know, we also had Russia that was, you know, shutting down, airspace, issuing NOTAMs off the coast of California last year, for different launches and things like that that were taking place. We had a Russian sub that was going off the coast of Florida on its way to, guess where, Cuba, just last year. So we have all of these different issues, and obviously like Russian bombers and things like that going over and probing Alaska, probing the west coast of the United States of America. Things like that are very typical right now, and things that the EU has been dealing with for a long time. And I want you to look at what happened to Ukraine prior to, you know, everybody thought that Russia invading Ukraine was never going to happen. We ignored them going in and taking Crimea. We allowed Putin and Russia to claim that they were conducting military drills, a buildup of 200,000 troops on the border of Ukraine before they ended up going in. And I want you to take a look at what China is doing outside of Taiwan. You know, Taiwan's very, very, very key to the United States of America, particularly for our national defense and security. They build a vast majority of the microprocessors, that we use in a lot of different defense technology. A lot of the things that are allowing you and I to talk right now, a lot of that stuff is coming out of Taiwan. And so if China ends up taking that, it's going to be a big problem. And so it's important for the United States to posture ourselves right now and let China and let Russia know that, no, we're still the global superpower. And if you mess around, you're going to find out. We are going to take action.
Yeah. Well, I like that that's a theme with this current administration these days. You know, if you mess around, you're going to find out the hard way. Matt, thank you for joining us. For folks at home right now, make sure you give him a follow on X at AngerTab. We're going to find him on X. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate it as always.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. All right, folks, I want to remind you all right now over the Alex Jones store right now. AlexJonesStore.com has, whenever you make a purchase of a supplement, you're going to get a free atomic defense bottle with it. Now, keep in mind, we're heading in right now to cold and flu season. If we're not there yet, here in Texas, it's a little warm, so we're kind of getting over there. But this is a great, great supplement that you're going to want to take, of course, every single morning. Add it to your collection. Head on over and out to thealexjonesstore.com. Whenever you purchase a supplement for a very limited time, you're going to get a free atomic defense bottle as well. Now, this is very, very important for you. Or if you want, you get the Shilajit gummies. But I'm going to go with the atomic defense because, folks, again, cold and flu season's here. You want to be immune to either. You got to make sure your defense system is up and running properly and well-fueled. This is a great way to do just that. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. This isn't going to last forever. It's going to expire this sale very, very shortly. So do that right now. Head on over to thealexjonesword.com. All right. I wanted to bring your focus to a couple of other things. You know, I'm very, very proud of Brett Cooper, who has actually just called out Republicans for, well, pretending to be MAHA supporters in Florida right now. And it's a little separate because it's two different things. But they're trying to ban paper straws in Florida. And I'm obviously all on board with that. They're absolutely disgusting. And it ruins any drink when they add a paper straw to your cup. But she highlights a very important issue, which is going on right now in Congress. And House Republicans, according to her, are the ones that are pushing it. It's very much against the MAHA movement. Take a listen to clip 11.
All right. Well, I hate paper straws, so yeah. I am happy if we get rid of them. But I do want to say, you know, they're citing health concerns here. I feel like they're throwing a bone to the MAGA movement in Florida. But this is kind of disappointing to me because they're citing concerns about chemicals. Meanwhile, House Republicans are slipping something into our new spending bill. It is Section 453, I believe, which would give immunity to huge pesticide companies. I think it would cover 57,000 different chemicals. And these are chemicals that have been linked to cancer and Parkinson's and infertility. And House Republicans are just slipping it in, which feels like they're giving the middle finger to MAHA. And so while I am excited about getting rid of paper straws and I hate them, I think any girl who enjoys her iced lattes every day wants yeah. them gone. But it feels like this is a bigger issue that we should be talking about if we're concerned with the chemicals and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Right. Well, we should be concerned about this. Pesticides being forced into our food is a major issue in this country. And even though you're sitting there and you're purchasing organic, because I try my very best to do just that, folks, when they're spraying, guess what happens to your organic food as well. So we've got a major issue on our hands. And just knowing that House Republicans are also backing it now, well, that is deeply, deeply concerning. They're doing everything possible to push back the MAHA agenda. But the reality of it is our food is toxic. It's poison. They are intentionally doing this. And as you can hear from there, Brett Cooper telling you that they're trying to give these companies immunity. It's absolutely disgusting, and it has nothing to do with government spending, but they always try to slip these things in thanks to the lobbyists that are pushing these things, of course, and it's just infuriating. It's just infuriating. Folks, also, I just wanted to highlight this as well. You know, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, also sending over a censure letter to Senator Mark Kelly as well. So I don't think I put that in there, but I wanted to make sure you guys all knew that he will be receiving that letter very, very shortly. And it will detail how his retirement rank and pay, well, he's got a big issue there, and he's obviously being downgraded. So this is good news. It's this bit of hope that we could get some kind of accountability here. So I'm all in, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. We'll be taking your calls, too, if you'd like to sound off on the Mark Kelly issue as well. We'll do that around 11-ish, because we're also going to be trying to keep our eye on that press conference that's expected to happen any minute then. So we'll be trying to dive into some calls. If you'd like to join the hold line right now and join us later in the third hour of the show, you call us 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. But in just a few moments, John Fawcett's going to be joining the show. John, I met John back in my days of working over at Fox Business on the Lou Dobbs show. He was Lou's producer, and they were buds. It's a very sad, obviously, that Lou is no longer with us, but John has taken over his show to carry on his legacy. He's the host of the Great America Show, and John's going to be joining us to talk about what we saw unravel in Venezuela. This was a topic that Lou and I remember working in the control room, and it's how I started over at Fox. I was the prompter girl, so I was rolling through Lou's scripts every night, and he was very, very passionate about Venezuela. So it breaks my heart that he's no longer with us, but you know, I just wanted to get John's take on what Lou would think if he was with us today, what he would be thinking and what he'd be covering in regards to Venezuela. I know he'd be a very, very happy man to see what President Trump has just done. And so we look forward to speaking to John on that front. We'll also be joined by Hunter Gaylor in about like an hour and a half, I'll say. He'll be joining us to break down the economic ramifications and all things related to Venezuela, plus China, because I'm watching the price of silver, and it's skyrocketing today, and it's because China's playing games. So we'll ask Hunter about that. In the meantime, folks, again, if you haven't downloaded the app, I don't know what you're waiting on. Head on over, alexjonesapp.com right now, and download the app. It's the best way to stay in touch with us, of course. And also, make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. If you're looking to get a free bottle of Atomic Defense, well, you get it whenever you purchase the supplement over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there right now, and make sure you're heading into flu and cold season with your immune system in tip-top shape over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Jordan. I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones picture is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
The American Journal. Oh, it's been a crazy, crazy news day, as many of you guys know. We got some breaking news, obviously. We talked about it, about Mark Kelly. Fox News pretending like it's exclusive. They just pushed that out. It's an exclusive. No, Fox News, are you not watching InfoWars? Because we beat you to it. We beat you to it. They're wrong. We got you the update regarding Mark Kelly. And now he's being kind of demoted, retirement-wise. He's getting a censure letter. We broke that for you guys here on this show. They did not exclusively. Big one for us, of course. But we're also talking about, and I'm waiting to hear back from the White House, the Pentagon, unable to confirm how many service members were injured in Venezuela. The White House hopefully getting back to us soon. They did just respond, but they are obviously having to get approval on that. I'm looking to see how many of our service members were shot. Again, no one killed in the capture of Nicolas Maduro. I mean, that is a massive, massive victory. When it comes to Venezuela, the Trump administration has been really fighting this battle for quite some time. They've wanted to I've known about this for years now. They've wanted to go out there and capture Nicolas Maduro. Now, unfortunately, in the first administration, they did not do that because there was a lot of pushback from a lot of people who probably shouldn't have been in the administration in the first place. But now that the president is back and he is running the show, well, he seems to be doing a pretty good job at this so far. What put it on my radar was back when I worked at Fox Business. And I know you all know who he is. Mr. Lou Dobbs would cover Venezuela extensively all the time. And he was always so proud of President Trump and made it very, very clear. But, you know, I was wondering when I was watching all the Venezuela news break, what would Lou say if he was with us today? As many of you guys know, we tragically lost Lou Dobbs. And it's just been such a heartbreak because I know he'd be so thrilled with the president of the United States. So joining me to discuss just that is John Fawcett. He's the host of The Great America Show, and he's with us now. And, you know, John, like I said before, I was so happy to hear that President Trump was going into Venezuela because this is something that he wanted to do. He wanted to capture Nicolas Maduro earlier on, back, I believe it was like 2018 we were hearing about this, 2017. And so it was great to see that he was able to carry these plans out for his sake at least. But if Lou was here today, I mean, he would have been thrilled because I know Lou extensively covered the election, the rumors about the election influence that they had, we could say. So what do you make of all of this? What do you think Lou would say if he was here today?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Brianna. I appreciate it. And thank you for keeping the legacy and the name of Lou Dobbs alive, because over the weekend, all I saw was Lou Dobbs this, Lou Dobbs this on Twitter. And you and I were both at Fox when Lou was fired for it. They could frame it whatever they want to. But he was fired from Fox News for talking about stolen elections. Now, Brianna, as I watched this all unfold over the weekend, thought I was going to be able to take a weekend off. Apparently not. As I watched it all unfold, I said, there's got to be more to it. There's got to be more to just the drugs. And as we saw, it turns out it's more than just the drugs. It's the oil. But over the weekend, President Trump was sort of posting some subliminal messages over on his Truth Social regarding elections and stolen elections and certain companies and things that reportedly and unverified, but reportedly took place in Venezuela. So a lot of people are saying that there's more to this than just the oil. There's more to this than just the drugs and the hundreds of thousands of people that Maduro has killed. But there's a silver lining to it. I think, and I hope, and I know the great Lou Dobbs is smiling down knowing that once again, Brianna, he will be vindicated on yet another issue.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so impressive to sit back and see, because I was thinking about it all weekend. It's just another issue. Again, it was Fox pushing him out for this reason alone. And it's so incredible to see possibly the truth just kind of get to the top of the surface of all of this. We look forward to that. But, you know, things are getting kind of weird because people like John Brennan are complimenting the president for how he ran all of this in Venezuela. And I know the mainstream media wasn't expecting him to be so complimentary. But, you know, Brennan can't even deny what took place. Let's listen in to clip 19.
What did you make of the events of the last 24 hours here?
Well, John, I think you did a very good job teeing this up. First of all, again, the U.S. military and U.S. intelligence are second to none in terms of their capabilities, their competence, talent, as well as their courageous actions. And so it does look as though it was a flawlessly executed operation, at least according to what we hear from the administration so far. And a lot of planning went into that. But that was, I don't want to say it's the easy part, because it was a sort of a complex operation. But this happened less than 24 hours ago. Now the big question is, what is the impact of that action? I think there are a lot of people in Venezuela and outside who are celebrating the departure of Maduro. She pointed out he was an illegitimately installed leader, a dictator of Venezuela. He was involved in drug running for a number of years. He's been involved in a lot of, you know, criminal activity. And so, yes, it's good that he is no longer in charge. But the big question is, what is going to happen now after this?
Yeah, so I think that's the big question here. What do you think is going to happen after this? But most importantly, what do you think about just Brennan analyzing all of this and saying that they did an incredible job?
Brianna, anytime John Brennan, Lindsey Graham, or John Bolton are in agreement with President Trump on something, it terrifies the heck out of me. And the only thing, the part about this whole situation that scares me a little bit is that you've got companies like Schlumberger and Halliburton getting ready to come on in and pounce. And it's these military industrial complex companies, Brianna, that you and I talk about more often than not, who have destroyed America. They've destroyed some of the things we've done overseas. You look at what they've done to the Middle East. They've absolutely destroyed the Middle East. And now you're going to watch companies like Schlumberger and, like I said, Halliburton and the rest of them go in there and probably try to clean up Venezuela. That's the only part that scares the heck out of me. As for the Maduro capture, whatever you want to call it, I think it was long overdue, and it goes deeper than, you know, what we just spoke about. It goes deeper than that. A lot of things that people aren't talking about right now, Brianna, is the immigration issue. But again, over 10 million Venezuelan migrants leave that country under Maduro in just the last few years. By them getting this country back, Brianna, it's going to bring down immigration levels that are going into Colombia, immigration levels that are coming into America. Mark Mitchell, who you have on the show all the time, he's got me hooked on this Reddit thing. So anytime I want to look at something, Brianna, I go to Reddit and I see. So I was on Reddit last night and I'm reading what these people are saying from inside of Venezuela, family members, relatives inside Venezuela. And these people are thrilled. You look at what he's done to this country, Brianna. Since 2013, he shrunk their GDP by 75%. In 2018, he had their hyperinflation at near 1,000,000%. He brought oil production down from 3 million barrels a day down to about 800,000. I mean, he absolutely destroyed this country, and the only people that were getting rich, Brianna, were him and his cronies at the top. These poor people to finally be liberated and finally have a country that they can go down, they can go back home to.
Yeah, well, that's what's so exciting about all of this, honestly, is the fact that now we have a legitimate reason why these asylum claims will likely be shot down in immigration court. You know, I know people were a little hard on Kristi Noem yesterday, and I don't think she completed her sentence properly, but she was telling people that those Venezuelans that are in our country right now, obviously they no longer have protected status, but they can apply for asylum if they want to. But the reality of it is there's no court that's going to approve it because the threat has been removed from Venezuela. And although obviously it's going to take some time before the government, before, you know, kind of trickles away and all these communists flee the country, the reality is they're going to have a transformation over these next few years. And it doesn't allow those who have come into our country looking for protective status and looking for asylum to have a lane anymore now that he's been removed from all of this. What do you expect the immigration courts to do? Do you think this is going to be a massive push? Because I think we've taken in over 500,000 of them so far. Us, like we didn't want to do it. Obviously, it was the Biden regime. But how do you think this is going to go for the immigration courts, which are already flooded with immigrants?
I got to be honest with you, Brianna. I don't think, and I know so many of them living in New York, you know what it's like. It's illegal haven here. So you have no choice but, you know, to commingle with these people. I talked to so many of them, specifically from Venezuela, and you see them a lot working in restaurants here in New York. They don't want to be here. Okay, they had no choice but to be here. Now, I'm not giving it out for these people to come to this country illegally. They're illegal migrants, illegal aliens. They should not be here in the first place. But at the end of the day, I don't think they want to be here. Those people want to be in their country where they can thrive, where they can make a living, where they can live with their loved ones. You look at so many of them, they come here, Brianna, by themselves as adolescents. They make all this money. They send it back home. They don't see their family. They miss marriages. They miss deaths. They miss everything by coming here to America. That, I think, is another silver lining in what President Trump did here in Venezuela. If they can build this country back up, you'll have so many of these people who don't want to be here to begin with go back to their country and self-deport on their own. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. That's just a, like I said, a silver lining.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. I actually want to play this video. John, I don't know if you remember this. This was pretty gruesome footage. I was working Trish Regan's show at the time too. And, we were playing this footage of the protests in Venezuela and how, they were just, it's an evil, evil regime, but protesters who were peaceful, maybe they're throwing a rock. They ran them over them and there was no regard for their lives. I believe one person was killed in all of this. But again, this was about 6 years ago, plus years ago. So I'm trying to remember the details on this. But obviously that's going to trigger a lot of people and get them fired up. And that's probably why you see what's unraveling there. But I mean, this regime was pure, pure evil. What they were doing to peaceful protesters obviously got them really upset and created this violent surge. But they were running over protesters with their military tanks. I mean, this is insane.
Brianna, what does this remind you of on a smaller scale? This was almost America.
Yeah.
I mean, this was America on January 6th with that fake insurrection that the Democrats staged with their FBI informants and government three-letter agency informants. This is what America was going to come to, and people don't realize how close we were to it. Starts with a stolen election, which Maduro has been doing for years, and it ends with protesters, peaceful protesters, being arrested, peaceful protesters' lives being ruined, thrown in gulags, no criminal charges, in jail for years with no charges, leaders imprisoned, indicted. It's the exact blueprint that Maduro came up with that Joe Biden and the Marxist Democrats were trying to use in 2020. Mm-hmm. And if Donald Trump didn't win that election, the too big to rig, just a year and a little bit ago, we would have been Venezuela. There's no hyperbole about it. Make no mistake about it. That would have been us. We were on the trajectory, and I would even argue with some people, Brianna, that we were ahead of the trajectory of where Venezuela was at.
Yeah, it's really scary. It truly is scary because, again, as we just played in the footage, I mean, it was obvious that they were the ones antagonizing the crowd who was peaceful. And again, we still don't even know how many federal agents were there that day. They'll tell us, give us some brief overview, but they won't tell you exactly what their assignments were that day. We don't know if that's the honest number. And, it's just pretty upsetting to see, John. But, I got a good chuckle in because I don't remember. I mean, I don't know if you remember. Border Czar Kamala Harris, she was supposed to, remember, get to the root cause of migration and why people were fleeing places like Venezuela. Well, apparently, it only took the Trump administration about 88 minutes. But for Kamala Harris, it took her 4 years, and she actually never resolved the issue at all. But she took to X to throw some shade because she's just a miserable, miserable human being. And her first sentence is, Donald Trump, she can't even say president because she's such an unbearable woman. Donald Trump's actions in Venezuela do not make America safer, stronger, or more affordable. Now, I think I passed by, actually, a gas station on my way over here in Texas, and the prices around me were about $2 a gallon for regular. So I'd say, yeah, well, he's been doing a pretty good job at bringing that down. But most importantly, obviously, we talk about it. I'm not trying to oversell here, but we know that there's about 10% of the fentanyl coming in from Venezuela to the United States is a big issue. Okay. We know that they're obviously, and according to the indictment, they're shipping and bringing cocaine. We know all of this, but we also know that this is really going to tick off Russia and China. And we know that China actually sent their delegates the day before they actually met with Maduro. Yeah. So while she's sitting here pretending like this isn't going to make America safe again, or safer, I should say, what the heck is this woman even talking about?
You know, you brought up the Chinese delegation thing, and it just brought back a memory the first time I'm thinking about it. This is the second time where Donald Trump has poked Xi Jinping in the eyes.
Yeah.
You may remember President Trump during his first term sitting in Mar-a-Lago having dinner with Xi Jinping, launching strikes in the Middle East, blowing up air bases and blowing up runways. This is now the second time that he's sent a warning over to Xi Jinping. As for the Democrats, the great Lou Dobbs used to say, and Colonel Doug McGregor reminds me of it all the time, America's got the best government money can buy. And it's so true, Brianna, because you look at it. Are these people compromised, corrupt, or just stupid? And I think it's probably a massive mix of it all. But if you look at Kamala Harris and the job that the Biden administration did, they couldn't have done such a bad job by accident. So it makes you believe that these people are somehow gaining and you look at stock portfolios. I think that's the easy thing to look at. But these people are somehow enriching themselves off of wars. They're enriching themselves off of migration. We were talking about immigration, Brianna. Two of the biggest criminal organizations in America, the Catholic Charities and the American Red Cross. And why do I say that? What they're doing down at the southern border, harboring illegals, helping illegals with lawyers, harboring them, giving them shelter, giving them transportation on where to go. Two of the biggest criminal organizations in America. And all of this was allowed to flourish and all this was allowed to flow under Joe Biden and under Kamala Harris. I don't think it was any mistake, Brianna. You look at Tim Walz today at announcing he's not running for governor again. I think the chips are going to start to fall because Donald Trump does not care anymore. He has nothing to lose, Brianna. They want him dead. They want him in jail, and the gloves are off at this point, I believe.
Yeah, they are off. We're waiting for that press conference to begin shortly, though. We're expecting it to start up in about 10 minutes regarding Tim Walz. I know Fox is reporting that he's not running anymore for governor because of the fraud that's been uncovered, so we look forward to that. But, you know, I just honestly think, John, when it comes to these lefties, that they just despise this country so much. The ones that are apparently claim to be American, they despise us so much. They are full-on communists, and I'm so upset with our current federal government right now because they're not doing enough to purge these commies out of this country. They don't belong here. They're so miserable. They're so anti-American that I would say that they're almost terrorists, and they're borderline terrorists at this point, some of them at least. But we're not doing anything to get them out of here. And I want to play this clip of a lefty who's very fired up. Now, it appears to be a woman, but it's not a woman, John. It sounds like it's
a
man.
Don't get me in trouble.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll just say that there's an individual who's very fired up about Nicolas Maduro being held right now in federal custody. Take a listen to clip 21.
With me all. Hands up, Venezuela!
John, that obviously it takes balls to get up there and do just that. But not even Venezuelans are advocating for his release. But these lefties, these commies, really want him released from federal custody. At this point, you know, can we just deport these people? I'm over it.
You know, I was thinking about this last night. I wish some of these people, these freaks, because that's what they are, they're freaks. Yeah. These freaks, these Democrats, these beta males. I mean, Democrats are males are overwhelmingly beta boys. I'd love for some of them to go live in Venezuela for a week. Go live in Venezuela for a few days. Go live there for a month and see what it's like. See what these people live through. See what these people deal with on a daily basis. See what it's like to go days without eating a meal. See what it's like to go days and make cents on the dollar of what you should be making. I would love for them to go there and live this life. Now, I have no intention of going to do it because I know people from these countries. I know what it's like. I speak to them. It's terrible. Yet these freaks come out. They protest like they know what and they're all paid agitators.
Yeah.
But what is the point at the end of the day? You're absolutely right. Get them out of here. Scoop them up, deport them, send them back, and send that freak over to Venezuela. Or send him over to the Middle East and let him see what it's like to live in a country that's not free. You don't know what you got till it's gone. We almost lost America, and they take things for granted in this country, Brianna.
Yeah, it's like watching Zoe Ramadani. I don't live in New York anymore. I fled, and I'm just so upset to see how these communists have taken over New York. But it's not just going to happen in New York. It's going to happen everywhere. I don't think people realize it. You know, we think that these are a minority, but these people are loudmouth. They are well-funded by countries that hate us, people that hate America, and it's just not going well for us. It's not going well for us. I want to get to this, too, before we go, though, John, because I know President Trump was alluding to utilizing the Insurrection Act in regards to going after the crime in left-wing cities. And this has been a major, major issue for him, obviously implementing and sending out the guardsmen to try to secure these big cities. He's got to pull some of the back through the court orders and whatnot. It's been a long battle. But in clip 22, the president details the possibility of utilizing the Insurrection Act. Take a listen.
You know that Portland, we got it down to almost no crime. You know that? But we pulled it out. We had a Supreme Court decision. We can go back. We're allowed to go back in. But we'll go back in when the crime starts. Look, the crime will soon start because that, they now know that we're out. And at the appropriate time, we'll go back in. And we may, if we, you know, we're allowed to, the most powerful thing we haven't used, the Insurrection Act.
You're considering using the Insurrection Act?
I would always, I've always considered it, but we haven't needed it anywhere. 48% of the presidents of this country have used it. Bush used it, I think, 22 times or something. You know that, right? I mean, Bush the Elder.
All right, so folks at home, if you don't know what the Insurrection Act is, obviously that is the president saying that he is potentially going to utilize this, the Insurrection Act of 1807, to nationalize and deploy the U.S. military. And obviously that would also federalize the National Guard as well. And this is something that the lefties, they fear-monger with. So I think they're going to run with that clip. But again, he's just trying to cut down on crime. I mean, we saw that the homicide numbers did go down last year, thank God. I believe it was about a 20% dip on a federal level. So that's good news. But again, I mean, that's because the president has really taken this issue on. John, your reaction to him possibly implementing it?
Yeah, and it goes to show you what can happen when the Democrats work with the Republicans on the few things that we can work together on. Crime in the cities is one of them. Now, to all of Eric Adams' flaws that he had here in New York, I think he did end his term sort of saving face a little bit by allowing President Trump to send in ICE and to send in various organizations to help clean up New York. You look at Washington, D.C., President Trump in the matter of weeks able to clean up Washington, D.C. I don't understand why. And it goes back to what you're saying. These people hate America. These Democrats hate America. Chicago. Why don't they want the help? Why don't they want their streets cleaned up? Why? Where is our American right? Brianna, to walk down a street in New York City, to walk down a street in Houston, Texas, we'll name some blue areas and red states, various parts of the country, where is our right as American citizens? Because Democrats always want to talk about rights, healthcare rights, and voting rights. Where is our right as American citizens to walk down the street and not worry about a stray bullet hitting us in the head? Where is our right as Americans to take our children to playgrounds and not have to worry about gang members snatching them up, killing them? Where's our rights for kids to go to school and not have to worry about fentanyl infiltrating their schools? The Democrats mean to hate America. They mean to hurt America. And, Brianna, they're doing just that. It's so dangerous in this country, and I can't say it enough. If Donald Trump did not win in November, this country would be on a terrible, terrible downward trajectory. We have nobody to thank but God for President Trump coming back for a second term.
Yeah. Yeah, John. No, I'm with you on that. It would have been a really, really bad 4 years for this country, and I don't think we would have been able to survive it. John Fawcett, thank you for joining us today. Folks, give him a follow on X, John Fawcett, NY, and he's also the host of the Great America Show. So make sure you tune into that as well. John, thank you for your time. We appreciate it as always.
Brianna, always a pleasure. You do a great job.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. All right, folks, we're keeping our eye out for Tim Walz, who's expected to speak momentarily. So buckle up. We'll bring it to you once it begins. But according to several outlets, he is expected to bow out of his reelection campaign efforts to be governor of Minnesota. And it's all due to the fraud that's been exposed in his state. We'll bring that to you in just a bit. If you'd like to possibly weigh in, maybe on the Mark Kelly issue, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. You know, we brought that story to you before Fox claimed it was an exclusive. So there's that. That's a big win for us, of course. But if you want to weigh in on Mark Kelly getting reprimanded by the Department of War, join us. Do just that. We'll also get into the latest on the fraud. There's a lot more going on right now in both Minnesota and other places throughout the country. Good news in regards to the NGOs possibly being defunded as well. So we got that coming on in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Whenever you purchase a supplement, you're going to get a free bottle of the Atomic Defense or the She Legit Gummies. I say go with the Atomic Defense as we head into cold and flu season. You're going to want to take one of those every day, folks, to battle the cold and flu season. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and do just that.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. the receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed. Well, two I designed. Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's at InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before their hatch. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
You're all jumping on with us in the third hour of the program. We're waiting to see when Governor Tim Walz is going to begin speaking. Obviously, he's bowing out in Minnesota. He's not going to be running for re-election because there's just too much fraud being exposed. And some might say it's an indicator of guilt. But others will say, I'll hold off, wait a little bit. Don't just assume he's guilty. So you guys could just figure that out on your own. But folks, that's good news for the state of Minnesota. Sure, they'll try to shuffle in another corrupt politician, of course, as they always do, but we'll take a little victory lap when we can. We're going to be taking your calls as well throughout the third hour of the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If you want to weigh in on Mark Kelly, that is in line to call into. And again, like I discussed, we're going to be diving into a couple more stories. Again, a lot more to discuss. I don't know if you guys saw this story. It happened earlier this morning. And of course, because I'm up at the crack of dawn, you know, I caught on to it. But I thought it was very interesting because 10 people have been convicted in France of cyber harassing the first lady, Brigitte Macron. Now, of course, it's the rumors that she is a transgender woman, which she claims are completely false. But Brigitte Macron, apparently not very happy, and the court's not so happy either. They have apparently sentenced 8 men and 2 women to suspended prison sentences of up to 8 months in prison. Don't you dare call her a man, or you're going to end up in the criminal court system. Or sued for defamation as well. Keep that in mind. But just, you know, it's one of the many interesting things going on right now with the Macrons, of course. I also want to dive into the latest on the fraud that's been going on. Obviously, as many of you guys know, we've been digging into the alleged fraud going on in places like Minnesota and other places as well. But it's been interesting to sit back and watch. There was a very interesting Liz Collins post. It was a Craigslist post. And I don't know. I thought it was quite interesting when I was looking over it. This, again, I don't know if it's clickbait. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's false, if it's just people pretending. Like this is a real Craigslist post, but it was officially up on Craigslist, just so you know. There was a live link where you could go to and you could view it yourself. But ultimately, Liz Collins posted that there's this Minneapolis Craigslist posting, which says that they're searching for child actors for daycare sites, and where funding has been apparently ripped away without cause. And it kind of sounds a little fake, but it was on Craigslist. It goes on to say it's about $1,500 a day. Seems like a lot. Very generous amount. And again, they're looking for up to 20 children actors for 3 days while the state is present on site. I can't imagine that being real. You think the Somalians would be able to just make some phone calls and call around to get that ball rolling, to get that ball rolling. So we'll keep our eye on that. Also, there was a story regarding J.D. Vance, the vice president. Apparently, there was a man arrested. Police have arrested a suspect after responding to an incident at his Cincinnati home in Ohio. Officers rushed to his residence after a report that a suspicious activity was taking place. Apparently, several windows were smashed. A suspect was taken into custody. We don't have the details on that yet. But I can only imagine, why they would be doing such a thing. These people are full of hate, rage, and they're evil. So no surprise there, but no word of any injuries or if his children were home, of course, which would be absolutely devastating if that was the case. We're going to play a couple more clips for you throughout the show. We've got a lot more to discuss in a bit. Also, Hunter Gaylor joining the program. Specifically, I'm going to be focused with him on the economic issues here regarding Venezuela, oil specifically, also China, and how they've sent the price of silver skyrocketing today. I was watching as the cost of silver was going through the roof right now, and it's very, very pricey. But there's a lot behind it, so he'll join us to discuss just that. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done it already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now for a limited time. A few more hours left in this one. You get a free bottle of Atomic Defense or SheLegit gummies whenever you purchase a supplement over at the shop. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make that purchase today. Again, thealexjonesstore.com and make that purchase today.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we're kicking off the third hour of the show by taking your calls, also diving into a couple more stories. Tim Walz, he put out a statement regarding dropping out of his re-election campaign. Many of you guys know he has been under the microscope in regards to fraud. A lot of people, a lot of Somalians doing just that. They're accused of taking millions and millions of your taxpayer dollars and shifting over to their buddies in Somalia. And, well, Tim Walz now bowing out of his re-election campaign. I don't know if it's a sign of guilt or maybe just people telling him that it's time to go. According to a statement that he did provide, he's apparently, again, bowing out. And Amy Klobuchar is apparently considering jumping in to replace him. So again, we'll keep our eyes on all things related to that. If he does actually speak, we'll bring it to you. But he might have just put out the statement to save his face because obviously this is very, very embarrassing for Tim Walz. And it probably means that there's probably going to be a criminal investigation soon. We'll be taking your calls to you folks, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 this hour as well. I wanted to play this. It's good news. We'll play clip 7 for you because Marco Rubio says that the NGOs are about to get cut off. Take a listen.
The United States has spent billions of dollars over the years in helping with health strategies all across the world. What we learned over time, and especially after coming here, is that oftentimes, and I'm oversimplifying it, but this is an accurate description, what would happen is we would go to a country and say, we're going to help you with our health care needs. Then we would drive over to Northern Virginia somewhere, find an NGO, one of these organizations, give them all the money, tell them go to this country and do their healthcare program for them. That NGO would then take about, you know, some percentage of that money for their overhead and administrative costs. And by the time it got down to it, the host country had very little influence. It was sort of imposed on them. And only a percentage of the overall money ever actually reached the patients and the people on the ground that we were trying to help because of these costs. This makes no sense. So why are we hiring American and international NGOs to go into other countries and run healthcare systems that are parallel and sometimes in conflict with the healthcare systems of the host country? If we're trying to help countries, help the country. Don't help the NGO to go in and find a new line of business. And so that's what the model that we're breaking. We're not doing this anymore. We are not going to spend billions of dollars funding the NGO industrial complex while close and important partners like Kenya are either have no role to play or have very little influence over how healthcare money is being spent. Bottom line is, if you want to help a country, work with that country.
Now, as you guys see, Mark Rubio doing a great job at outlining just that. The NGOs are ripping us off because they're not doing the things that they're supposed to do. Surprise, surprise. So kind of good news. It's kind of good news. We'll see how long this lasts. All right, let's jump to some callers. Savage Dog, it's been quite some time we've heard from you, so welcome back to the show, my friend.
Good morning, Brianna. Yeah, it's been since the 18th. How was your New Year and Christmas?
You know, it was good. It was quiet this year. I decided to just, you know, take a couple of days off and not do anything. But my parents were in town, so that's good news at least. But yeah, no, it was good. How was yours?
Oh, it was epic. Awesome. Blessed. Everything was great.
Love it.
And now, you know, I was kind of blackpilling. But first, before we start, I need to make a correction. That thing you had up there, protest, that wasn't really a protest. That was Netflix was filming a miniseries called Lexi's Balls Finally Dropped. Free Madura. Yeah. So I've got like a whole page written out of notes, but I'll just go with one aspect of this. Everything good about this Venezuela raid, mm-hmm. And how it affects the United States, aside from oil and, you know, a stabilizing factor, once it all pans out, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. But anyway, so far as, you know, how long, how many days has it been now? What's your count on X?
I don't have the exact count. I do the date each day, and it's very problematic because I'm hearing people over at the FBI aren't big fans of this tweet that I put out every day where I tell you no one's been arrested. No one's been arrested. I was told, though, by an individual that I should be happy with the three charges, the three indictments that came about. You might not remember them. Let me just remind you, Tish James was at one point indicted, but those charges didn't stick. I believe there was another, James Comey. I don't know if you know who he is, but he was also indicted. Those charges didn't stick. And then I believe there was another one named John Bolton. Now, those charges are still ongoing, I believe. But I was told to be happy with those, even though two of them served within a Republican president. And then the other one had nothing really to do with the massive amount of lawfare that we were kind of going through, the 2020 election, Biden auto pen. So, again, it was another BS thing that they threw us. But they threw us a couple of not even arrests. I haven't seen a mug shot. So I won't even say they were put in handcuffs. They threw us a couple of indictments and told us to be happy with this, Savage Dog.
All right, yeah, thank you for giving me my little introducing my prelude. Now, those things happened, I think, because they were small, just to test the waters to show to themselves, even though they didn't articulate it to us, we cannot get even a trial with these people. Now, we've got a month or so ago, the head of Maduro's intelligence or whatever, spy network, defecting, coming over and spilling the beans. But let's start with this. Okay, so now we've shown that, you know, you can't. I got Comey and Big Tish. I forgot about Bolton. You know, okay, we can't do it. Get anything done? Okay, let's go ahead and do the pre-work and put the cart before and put the horse in front of the cart. First, we took away the USAID funding. Okay, that was awesome. That was a great first step. And now Rubio talking about we're going to just defund the NGOs. Okay, now what's going on right now? Now we're taking away the mechanism of cheating the voting machines by eliminating the country of origin. You know, they now, you know, when once this pans out, they're not going to be in charge of Smartmatic and Brainfart, the other one. So we got that going on right now. Now we got the spy chief, you know, spilling what he knows. Mm-hmm. and you're going to have an FBI agent sitting across the table from Maduro and saying, look, I'll tell you what, let's say you get 1 year in prison. There's a lot of Venezuelans in Rikers Island. You're either going to die by the people you starved out, or you're going to get killed by the cartel who assume that you spilled the beans. Here's a legal pad and a box of pens. We'll come back in a couple hours and see how you're doing on dining everybody else out in America. I think that he's going to spill so much and give so much evidence, and so much is going to come out of this. We're going to finally see indisputable. Okay, now Maduro's in the Southern District, New York. That's bad. I think that was done just for the initial optics and showing Mondami. Look what we could do there, Chief. You better not go full blown commie. But once these names start coming out, then you're going to start seeing indictments and trials in Florida. I really hope so. I hope I'm not, white pilling myself and, really, selling the hopium. But man, something's got to happen. I mean, this is great. Yeah. And they got the Hispanic vote. That's like a side issue, a political horse poop kind of side issue. But now what you said earlier about, what's his name? The guest you had on, I tried to remember his name.
Is it Matt?
He said what I was going to say. You were like, okay, now Venezuela's free. Y'all can go home now. Kind of sounding catty. But I look at these videos. And I look at Venezuela, and if I was Venezuelan and I was living here, I wouldn't want to be here. I'd want to go to Venezuela where they're going to fit to be rich. I mean, Venezuela's a beautiful country with a huge coastline. They're going to be a destination. You give them 5 years and everything goes right in the world, and China and Russia and everybody gets out of their mess and they start getting rich, they're going to be the destination.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now let's go to the future a little bit. Now let's say we take care of Mexico and we take care of Cuba and we take care of Colombia. And now we're starting to look at a North and South American coalition that to the point where Trump can dump NATO and say, we're going to have a complete economic military, deal with North or South America, or keep a China out or keep a Russia out. They got the minerals. They got this and that. We got this and that. The huge trade deals and military treaties. The future is huge with this move starting out. Now Trump knows we can do it. Now he's talking about Greenland again. Hey, they added a dog sled to their National Defense Force. Whatever.
Yeah, I know. I got a good chuckle out of me. I mean, it was very bold for him to say he's have a dog, and I love to hear him joke about that. But yeah, I mean, he's talking about it. UK doesn't want him doing it, and obviously Denmark doesn't want him trying to bring it into the United States. Again, he keeps people on their toes, and I think that's very important. For those of you at home, let me know also if you're going to be purchasing any real estate anytime soon in Venezuela, because I hear it's going to be a very popular attraction once they get rid of these commies that are in their country. I'm pretty sure they're all fleeing at this point. I can't imagine anyone sticking around after what they just saw and how their military barely put up a fight. So Savage Dog, I think you're right. I like the fact that you are a sense of optimism. We need that these days. So thank you for calling into the show, my friend. As always, we greatly appreciate your time. All right, let's turn to Jordan in New Jersey. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Tidings to all the InfoWars crew as well.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call in regarding this Venezuelan issue. I don't know if you remember, I've called in over the last several weeks trying to chart this whole Venezuelan thing. I think some of my predictions turned out to be kind of true. And I just want to this Elon Musk meeting with Trump recently coincides with Trump. I don't know if everybody remembers, maybe you remember. I discussed the detail of the Institute of Peace, right, which is a huge USAID money laundering operation that Doge stormed in March of this year. And I think that led to the end of Doge because they found a bunch of stuff in there, and then they realized that there were all these compromised Republican and Democrat senators. And they also realized at that time that none of the Doge reforms would ever be passed through the Congress. And I believe that the whole public, you know, the kerfuffle between Musk and Trump was a distraction, a mirage, whatever, to make people think that that was over. And I think once they did get into the Institute of Peace, they found out that the Venezuela operation really needed to happen in order to oust all these corrupt politicians and people that were involved in this deal in 2020, some of these other fraud schemes, and so forth. So I just want to chart that I do believe that there's a dots to be connected here with the Doge operation, Musk, the Institute of Peace, all those people, the USAID money. Now Rubio saying we're not giving any money to those folks. We're going to pay the governments directly. And I believe that there's going to be a cache of evidence, like I mentioned earlier, that will implicate some of these people. And you're seeing all these resignations of Democrat and Republican senators. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I believe that they're jumping ship because they're about to, you know, have some serious problems.
Yeah.
And so when they get out of office, they try to claim the immunities and all the rest. This is a very common theme amongst these so-called public officials, right? Public servants, supposedly. Which brings me to my final point. I know you have a lot of other callers. This issue, which I've also harped on several times in my calls, and it's important that everybody understands, I'm an attorney. I've dealt with local fraud issues. I've seen pattern and practice here in my local region in the Northeast in New Jersey. I've taken these things to the FBI, to the local attorney general's offices, and so forth, with nothing being done with direct evidence, being shown. Trump's failure to appoint local prosecutors means that local fraud, like we saw with the Somali operation, is hard to get rid of. And I believe that they're hoping through the cachet that they're able to clean out the system to some extent and also secure elections for the midterms.
And
elections moving ahead. And I just wanted to kind of tie all those things and have people look into the Institute of Peace and other researchers because there's something there. And one final point I'd like to make. This Judge Brosberg is a big problem. And there has to be a huge effort with people to try to push congressional people to try to – I know Byron in Florida tried to get impeachment papers issued. But I do believe that he's using a series of funds and so forth that he's being influenced. And he's also aligned with the Venezuelan thing as well, Judge Brosberg.
Yeah.
So there's this huge coterie in Washington, D.C. of these people.
Yeah, no, there definitely is. And we look forward to see how much more of this comes to the surface. I do think, though, seeing Musk at Mar-a-Lago over the weekend was definitely a good indicator. So I'm with you on that. Jordan, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your insight. And everyone else who's on hold right now, stay put. We're going to be taking your calls and diving in and out of that. But I just noticed over at the UN right now, Mike Waltz, the ambassador, is actually speaking in regards to Venezuela. Let's take a listen.
This past weekend, colleagues, the United States successfully carried out a surgical law enforcement operation facilitated by the U.S. military against two indicted fugitives of American justice, narco-terrorist Nicolas Maduro and Celia Flores. Colleagues, Nicolas Maduro is responsible for attacks on the people of the United States, for destabilizing the Western Hemisphere, and illegitimately repressing the people of Venezuela. As Secretary Rubio has said, there is no war against Venezuela or its people. We are not occupying a country. This was a law enforcement operation in furtherance of lawful indictments that have existed for decades. The United States arrested a narco-trafficker who is now going to stand trial in the United States in accordance with the rule of law for the crimes he's committed against our people for 15 years. A similar action was taken in 1989 against Manuel Noriega. He was arrested, indicted, convicted in a court of law, served in prison in the United States and in Panama, and the Panamanian people, the American people, are safer for it. And undeniably, the region was more stable. This law enforcement action was directed consistent with the President of the United States' responsibility as Commander-in-Chief to protect Americans at home and abroad against a fugitive who is directly responsible for narco-terrorism that has killed hundreds of thousands of Americans and created destabilizing violence throughout our hemisphere. Nicolas Maduro and his co-defendant, Celia Flores, have been transferred here to the United States to stand trial for their crimes. Maduro was indicted by a grand jury in the Southern District of New York and faces very serious criminal charges for his involvement in a wide-ranging conspiracy to conduct narco-terrorism, to traffic cocaine and other drugs, and conducting international weapons trafficking. The overwhelming evidence of his crimes will be presented openly in U.S. court proceedings.
All right, I'll step in on this. We are waiting him, or we're waiting to see him in federal court. Obviously, he's being shuffled over there now. We saw the helicopter ride over to a federal courthouse, Southern District of New York, in Manhattan. So we'll bring any information as it continues to develop, of course. On that front, again, also, we're waiting for Tim Walz might actually come out with a statement soon. We'll keep our eye to that as well. But let's turn back to some callers. We've got about 3 minutes left. So Cheese Nader from Wisconsin, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year. Yeah, I'm kind of like in the pro-smoking communist group. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's a great thing that Trump did this with Venezuela. Like, people talk about domestic problems and Antifa and stuff. But you have the opportunity to get all this oil and also take care of a big problem in the region. And, you know, I don't understand, like, Israel gets to go into Palestine and snatch up the West Bank, and Russia gets to go into Ukraine and get Eastern Ukraine. But, like, the U.S. is supposed to be some redheaded stepchild or black sheep. And, you know, it's a dirty business. So, you know, it's not nice, but it's kind of like a big dog eat little dog world. And Trump, I think, is a genius to do that. I wish he would keep going. Like, the amount of chemical warfare that has been done to the children of the U.S. and the citizens of the U.S. with the drug, the poisonous drugs coming in, needs to be stopped and needs to be, like, revenged. In Colombia, they have, like, government. I don't know if you saw, Brianna, they have, like, government officials during the Christmas holiday worshiping at a literal Church of Satan. And they're all wearing, like, Ku Klux Klan hoods and upside-down crosses. And, like, they do satanic rituals with the drugs, you know. There's always going to be people who use narcotics, but people need to have clean access to those type of things, unfortunately, until we figure out why people are trying to escape, you know. So I'm really happy that this Venezuelan thing happened, and I think he should keep going, preferably at a faster pace. You know, I wish that he would, you know, strike the facilities themselves. I know the NSA and reconnaissance office with the satellites can pick all those facilities up, and with AI, they're able to backtrack where all these drugs are being produced. And I just think enough is enough. And otherwise, it's going to keep getting worse. I'm in Milwaukee. Every day I drive down the street and I see people slumped over and they get sucked into it. And it's a physical process. They can't help it. For one reason or another, they take it once and they get addicted. So I think it's about time someone put their foot down. And kudos to Trump for being man enough to do it. And I'm sure he's going to get a lot of flack for it, but it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you stand on it personally. It's kind of nasty part about running a country, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm still sitting back and waiting to see as it develops, because I want to make sure before I give a take on it 100% that
that we know, but obviously I'm all on board for arresting commies. I wish we do that here in our country. And I wish we'd be more aggressive on that front. Sadly, we allow these communists to take powerful positions in this country, and there's very little pushback. When we run the federal government, I mean, there's people who could be denaturalized and shipped on out. We hear the president talking about Ilhan Omar often, obviously. Zohra Mahdani, another one. All commies with ties to communism, and we are not really doing much. So it's very discouraging on that front. But cheese, Nader. Thank you for joining the show. We appreciate it. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. Don't go anywhere. We are up against a hard commercial break. Hunter Gaylor is going to be joining us in a moment. We've got a couple of questions to ask him regarding the economic ramifications for all this. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because right now, whenever you purchase a supplement, you're going to get a free bottle of the Atomic Defense as well. So head on over to the shop and make sure you grab yourself some supplements.
I'm going to say this right now. We have survived and battled the federal and state courts, the Democratic Party, the whole nine yards. And we have great products, and I appreciate all your support. But 70%+ of the money that comes in is the legal cost. If we didn't have those battles going, we'd be 24 hours a day, as I've always planned, and totally kicking ass. But it's part of the cost of the fight in this information war, and I appreciate you keeping us here. But with everything going on, we've got about a $300,000 underage right now and need to have the money for payroll and bandwidth and all the things we're doing. This is, and it's not a Chicken Little thing or the sky's falling or boy, you're crying wolf. You've seen the attacks. You've seen the news. You've seen us battling. You know, God, you know, pulls us out right at the last minute. And I know we're going to get massive support of the successful shutting this down. People are going to be, whoa. But regardless, the products are insane. But at InfoWarsStore.com, with the bankruptcy and the receiver, they don't let us get a lot of new product, all that. We have the collectible limited edition Save InfoWars posters. We have a chance at an auction next month with the state. If they don't let it be a real auction, the good guys can't buy InfoWars, we'll be shut down. And I just want to fight to the end, and whatever happens, happens. But we have the collectible posters for $25, unsigned, $100 signed. That's a lot of money, I know. It's the point is, it's a fundraiser. You're opting in to do that. It's beautiful posters, three of them. But if you want to just give a straight donation on the front page of InfoWarsStore.com, you can just give a straight donation. The credit card fees are like 4% for us, and then we get 96% of the money to actually run the operation. So we're winning in court. We're having a lot of big effects. I'm not going to spend hours explaining it all to you, but we're down to the last round here right now, and we need the funds. And you know the show delivers the truth. It has a major effect. We influence the White House, creating a lot of good stuff happening. It's a valuable thing in the info war to keep on air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm asking you humbly for a straight donation, $5, $50, $100. Give a straight donation if you want, or if you want one of the posters, signed or unsigned, as a memento that you stood up for the Republic at a key time. We got a little bit of the fish oil back in, a little bit of the bodies back in. That's selling out quickly. The receiver let us do that. But none of this goes to the plaintiffs. None of this goes to the bad guys. It's literally in the red right now, okay, with what we got projected in the next month. I need the funds now. Please make a donation. This is the critical time. TheAlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. If InfoWars gets shut down, that's our sponsor for the new network that's already been built, but it's also funding InfoWars, and there's not enough coming in. So you can support either way. TheAlexJonesStore.com, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, all the t-shirts, that's great. But if you want to straight up support and know it all goes to it, make a donation or get one of the posters at InfoWarsStore.com. It's up to you. Please take action now.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screens got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. About to crack the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind to say, luck. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, third hour, final lap of today's show. Got a lot going on over here, a lot happening throughout the day, so we're excited you guys are still with us. But, you know, we're diving into a lot of really important things in regards to Venezuela, and I think people are thinking about the economic ramifications of all this. That will be the focus over the next few minutes on just that. But in case you're just joining us, I want to make sure we play this clip for you in case you missed it. In clip 14, you're going to hear Marco Rubio's stance in regards to the oil in Venezuela. I know a lot of the critics out there seem to think this is all about the oil, but take a listen to how Rubio says he's going to leverage that.
How do you plan to run the country?
Well, first of all, I think the important thing to point out is that the key to what that regime relies on and is their economy fueled by oil. And right now it is an oil industry that is backwards and really needs a lot of help and work in terms of it. And not only that, but it doesn't help the people. None of the money from the oil gets to the people. It's all stolen by the people that are on the top there. And so that's why we have a quarantine. There's a quarantine right now in which sanctioned oil shipments, there's a boat and that boat is under U.S. sanctions. We go get a court order. We will seize it. That remains in place. And that's a tremendous amount of leverage that will continue to be in place until we see changes, not just further the national interest of the United States, which is number one, but also that lead to a better future for the people of Venezuela. And so that's the sort of control the president is pointing to when he says that. We continue with that quarantine, and we expect to see that there will be changes, not just in the way the oil industry is run for the benefit of the people, but also so that they stop the drug trafficking, so that we no longer have these gang problems, so that they kick the FARC and the ELN out, and that they no longer cozy up to Hezbollah and Iran in our own hemisphere.
I think it's really important for folks to understand that angle. Joining me to discuss is Hunter Gaylor. He is the founder of Spencer Pruitt, and he joins us now to understand the economic ramifications for everything that unraveled this weekend. And it's been quite the busy weekend, Hunter, so we're excited to have you on the show today. When it comes to oil prices, obviously Venezuela, it's got a lot, We're over, 300 billion barrels of crude they do have right now. That's according to our own stats that we've gathered, just kind of going through what our federal government's made very apparent to us. So when we talk about oil in Venezuela, what do you expect to happen thus far right now, given the fact that our government's claiming that they're running the show over there?
Yeah, I mean, well, look, it was an incredible military operation, so we can start there.
Yeah.
I think what people, from an economic perspective, I think we have to remember back of the financial dimensions that's going on here, right, between China and Russia. Now, China began extending very large loans to Venezuela, and that was backed by future oil supplies. And obviously, as Marco says, there's a lot of oil there. We know it's a big deal. But they were, over the past 12 years, a third of, I think the number's $150 billion from the Chinese Development Bank loaned to Latin America, and a third of that went to Venezuela. And they weren't traditional loans. They're oil collateralized arrangements where Venezuela would repay through petroleum shipments to Chinese state companies. And so if you look at the flow of money, and I say this all the time, you got to follow the money, is... Rubio's right. I mean, it's the Western Hemisphere. Venezuela is no different from, in my opinion, what the Cuban Missile Crisis was, right? If Russia and China are loaning money, and I believe in your research department's probably bigger than mine, but they had Russian leaders that were sitting there saying, we have no problem sending, long range missiles and hypersonic missiles to Venezuela. Well, look how close Venezuela is to the United States. So everything that we're doing, I think, from a monetary perspective is setting up a defensive Western Hemisphere, geopolitical strategy. So I think it goes much deeper than just the drugs and the weapons and things like that, that Maduro's being charged on, which rightfully so. I agree. He's totally screwed the country of Venezuela, but economically, Venezuela imploded. And when China extended additional lifelines, which was $10 billion loans to support the country's balance of the payments, it rocked the country. And so I think when you look at it from Maduro's mismanagement and destroyed the oil industry, which, by the way, the majority of U.S. oil companies and multinational corporations, oil companies here in the United States built those facilities down in Venezuela. So, yeah, I think we have the right. You know, America is the superpower of the Western Hemisphere. We should act like it. We provide enough aid and stuff to these countries anyway. I have no problem with what's being done in the matter of which it's being done.
Yeah, and Hunter, I actually want to play this clip, too, because you're talking about not allowing our adversaries to get that close to us. That's something that Rubio also did echo. Let's play clip 12.
The purpose of the operation was to capture Maduro and bring him to justice. Why does the United States need to take over the Venezuelan oil industry?
Well, we don't need to. First of all, let me go back up. We don't need Venezuela's oil. We have plenty of oil in the United States. What we're not going to allow is for the oil industry in Venezuela to be controlled by adversaries of the United States. You have to understand, why does China need their oil? Why does Russia need their oil? Why does Iran need their oil? They're not even in this continent. This is the Western Hemisphere. This is where we live. And we're not going to allow the Western Hemisphere to be a base of operation for adversaries, competitors, and rivals of the United States.
Have specific oil companies.
We also want to see that oil and the proceeds from it. Hold on. We want to see the oil proceeds of that country benefit the people of Venezuela. Why have 8 million people left Venezuela? 8 million, the single largest mass migration probably in modern history, left Venezuela since 2014 because all the wealth of that country was stolen to the benefit of Maduro and his cronies in the regime, but not to the benefit of people of Venezuela. You know how destabilizing 8 million migrants is? The number one fear that Brazil has, that Colombia has, that all these countries in the region have about what's happening in Venezuela and our involvement is they're afraid of another mass migration event. That's what they fear. This is deeply destabilizing stuff. It's not going to continue to happen. They are not going to come from outside of our hemisphere, destabilize our region in our own backyard, and us have to pay the price for it, not under President Trump.
And I think that's a real bold move to make, and we appreciate the administration doing just that. But when it comes to oil prices here in the United States, I was watching over the weekend to see how the markets were going to react, and it did, you know, it was interesting because it did fall a bit on Sunday, but we're seeing it kind of come back up a little bit, but not by much. Do you think that oil is going to become a lot cheaper here in the U.S. now that this is all going on, or what do you expect to see from markets in response to that?
I mean, it remains to be seen. It'll be great for our oil companies to go in there. I mean, we're in the energy business. I mean, we do a lot of work in the oil and gas business. And I can tell you personally, we have technology and refinement that can process Venezuelan heavy crude. Mm-hmm. But I think from the real question here that I want the viewing audience to understand is there was a trade balance between Moscow and Caracas that I believe in either 2024 or 2025, I have to go back and look, increased by like 60 to 65%. Okay. Because Russia viewed Venezuela through multiple lenses as an economic opportunity as well as a strategic global asset. It's no different. And now this is all theory and conjecture of me saying this, but if we pull out of NATO because we're having all these conversations about Ukraine and Ukraine's fighting, you know, Russia, if Ukraine joins NATO, then we can put nukes in Ukraine, which is shooting distance to Russia. Well, that's potentially the same thing that Russia could do to Venezuela. Now, I'm not saying that's maybe how they're thinking, but it's not about the oil. It's not about the drugs. I think it's setting us up for a strategic defensive posturing to let the world know, look, you know, if Russia's helping them to circumvent U.S. sanctions by facilitating these oil exports, yeah, we'll seize the oil so they don't get it, right? I have no problem with Russia or China paying billions of dollars to Venezuela for oil and then never getting it, right? I mean, that's just, it's war, it's defensive. We're the superpower on this hemisphere, as Rubio said. So it's a very complex, very strategic geopolitical move. It's beyond the headlines right now. I think we're going to continue monitoring it, but you know, it goes back to, I think most people don't really understand when you use the terms geopolitics, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. There's a thing called the Heartland Theory, and then there's another one which basically talks about controlling the strategic port areas for maritime trade. And this is how, obviously, we're moving oil. So if we're seizing those tankers and bringing that in, it's going to benefit the U.S. Supply. And I believe Trump said over the weekend as well that, you know, maybe we'll use it to start restockpiling our strategic reserves that under the Biden administration and the Obama administration, they totally got rid of, right? And and it benefited these other countries and it didn't benefit us. It wasn't an American, it was not an America first, you know, policy move or economic move for that matter. So, you know, I think that if Trump and Rubio cut off the energy flows to China and Russia, it's very good, but I think there's going to be a card that's going to be played later in the game. We could still war game it out. I'm sure we can have long conversations about it, but I think it's securing a foothold, and it resembles the Cuban Missile Crisis very, very, very closely. But we're using it in taking this guy out. Look, he was a criminal, right? Yeah. Let's just call him what he is. Okay, you can blame it on the drugs, you can blame it on the weapons. He's a criminal. He's going to be tried in court. That's the move. What that means as a result for the rest of the way the U.S. is perceived. I see a lot of these knuckleheads on TV talking about, oh, we're going to go in and we're going to run the country like we did in these never ending wars and everything in the Middle East. It's not. It has nothing to do with that, right? We're not going to go occupy Venezuela. We're going to get it stabilized and look at all the people that came here, you know. As Rubio said, 8 million, that starts turning into a humanitarian crisis. And if you look at their currency is completely devalued. So hopefully that can be something that is addressed with their central bank and the way money flows. So I think it's good. I mean, listen, at one point, Venezuela was a beautiful, prospering, very rich country. And for us to have the relationship of being able to put people in power, have free and fair elections. And look, what else are we talking about? I'm sure Alex Jones will talk about it on his show. But look at what happened with the voting. I mean, Smartmatica and Dominion were involved in Venezuela. And I believe some of the stuff came from Venezuela. So there's a lot of stuff that is going on that is a direct result and opens up a lot of opportunities to fix things now that we have this guy in custody.
Yeah. And Hunter, you know, we're keeping our eye on all of that. I know everyone's footing the election stuff. We had one of former Lou Dobbs producer on the show earlier today, mm-hmm. and Lou Dobbs was all over this and he had no problem covering it. And again, I mean, this is the part that's so frustrating. You know, a lot of us thought that there was suspicious activity going on in Venezuela in regards to the voting machines and other things as well. And unfortunately, they haven't been proven because, well, we haven't had the avenue right to do just that. So we'll continue to watch it as it unravels. But again, it's accusations that so many people have been really fighting for to get to the bottom of to see if it's true or not. So we'll just allude to that for right now. But I wanted to dive into something else before you go, because this one I've been watching all morning, talking about silver prices specifically. Yeah. Obviously, China has a really good grip on this. China controls about 70% of the silver when it comes to big tech and AI and solar panel, and they've been utilizing this. And it's like a hostage situation at this point. What are you hearing about all of this? Because this is concerning right now. It stands at about, I think, $77 an ounce, and that's really, really significantly high.
Yeah, and silver is going to continue to go. I think it's a great investment. I hold a lot of silver myself personally. It's a critical and strategic resource, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, there's a lot of uses for silver. And the fact of the matter that it's just going to continue to increase is a good thing. With regards to China, yeah, I mean, look at how much they're producing. Look at all the things they're manufacturing. Look at all of the increase in technology and things like Huawei and BYD and all these major companies. They need the resource. And so that's going to drive up the price, obviously, right? So, and it's just in supply and demand economics, right? So, the more supply, the more of the demand, right? You're going to get higher prices. And so you're seeing that a lot. But also there's another thing that I was seeing is, and I have to go look at this. I don't know if this is true or not, so don't quote me on this, but I was reading, I don't know if I saw it on X or if I was reading an archive to go back and look. They were saying how the prices were not being properly looked at what the global price was. They were saying it was around 70, 74, but there were reports that I think in Japan, their screens were showing 130. I don't know if that's true. I don't want to start a rumor, but I have to go back and look. It wouldn't surprise me if they manipulate the silver market for that exact reason. So it's just another form of economic warfare, but they need it. They need silver, just like we need silver. And once again, taking it back to Venezuela for a second, yes, silver at 130. I don't know. I have to look into that and see if that's actually true. But yeah, that's what we were talking about. So, but like even with Venezuela, they're rich in minerals. They're rich in rare earth, which is what we need. Our own system in the United States, unfortunately, is broken from a supply chain perspective, from a procurement perspective. I mean, China is land banking right now in parts of Africa with these rare earth. They're not the same procurement processes as America. I've always said the silent killer of the United States government is its bureaucracy. It's its red tape. It's the what I call the fifth branch of government, if you will, or the fourth branch of government. Along with all of the corruption and military industrial complex. But I mean, if you're a mine, it's very difficult to sell into the U.S. government if you don't have those government contracts. So, the red tape that we have to deal with is frustrating. Look, America is rich in minerals and resources, but you know, we still have to navigate all of the hurdles of the red tape to be able to get the licenses, the EPAs, the, you know, OSHA standards, all of these things to be able to mine and produce and set up facilities. I mean, even if you look at a rare earth mineral like antimony, we don't have the massive processing ability of refinement that some of these other big countries do in, say, China or Russia or even in parts of the Middle East. We just don't have it. And so, unfortunately, it leaves us to have to be able to procure it from other places, which is a problem. And I've always said it's a problem, and I raise it up with a lot of my colleagues that, you know, if we are going to have any type of investment into the U.S.'s rare earth or infrastructure buildup from a rare earth perspective, we have to secure our supply chains. And as a superpower on the Western Hemisphere, I think what Rubio is saying and should be articulating more is whatever these other countries have, whether it's Venezuela with the oil and rare earth or any of these other ones, we should take it and we should shore up our supply chain so we're not having to rely on these other countries for trade. So it is definitely both a political and an economic positioning, and it needs to be continued to monitor. But as far as U.S. superiority, it all comes down to us being able to have a secured and protected supply chain where we don't have to rely on the likes of rare earth from Russia or China or any of these other things. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch. And look, Russia and these companies, they've made threats. They've made multiple threats about deploying missiles to Cuba and Venezuela. That's why, if you saw over the weekend, he said, what are you going to take Cuba now? And yes, our eyes are on Cuba for this exact reason, right? It's an American military intervention. They're saying it's unnecessarily, you know, look at how they're falling, right? How Cuba's falling. So, it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, we always go to the markets. Markets are up for the most part today. So, we'll continue how the start of the first Q of, 2026, but it's definitely starting out with a bang. That's for sure.
I mean, they kept me busy. Let's just say that it's been a very chaotic couple of days in 2026, but you know, I'd expect nothing less from the Trump administration. They're putting the warning out there. They're letting all these other countries know, our adversaries know, that if they F around, they're going to find out. And so we could appreciate that. Hunter, thank you for all the incredible work you do. And thank you for joining us today and getting your insight on these issues. It's very important. So we appreciate it.
No, always a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend. We appreciate it, folks. Hunter Gaylor, he is the founder of Spencer Pruitt. We appreciate his insight in all things related to the economic ramifications to all of this. So thank you, Hunter, for joining us. All right, let's dive back into some more callers because I know we've got a couple more folks on the lines. Let's jump over to Tim in California. Tim, welcome back. Tim?
On Mark Kelly earlier. So congrats on Mark Kelly. And just, you know, for context, I mean, he became an astronaut like in 1996.
Yeah.
And then he married Gabby Giffords like 11 years later in 2007. And then 4 years later, Gabby Giffords, his wife, was one of those Congress on your corner things at a supermarket parking lot in Arizona. Mm. And she got shot in the head. And, I mean, 6 others were killed and 13 others were injured. It wasn't like just her. But still, she survived, but she couldn't carry on. So I don't know. I'm not giving him a get-off-the-hook moment. But my experience is, from what I saw, is from the time she got in the head, his wife got shot in the head in 2011 until now, he's kind of somewhat been understandably off the rails a bit. Anyways, that's not what I call about. What I call about is Zoran Mamdani. Of course, he did his whole swearing-in thing and all that. And you can find all this on nyc.gov. So, I mean, I'm not making this up. And here's the exact quote in his inauguration speech. He said, "We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism." Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you couldn't have picked a worse time to say that until Donald Trump, you know, did what he did in Venezuela. So it's like, okay, you want to be a communist? Go ahead. March forward.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, to me, that was like a soupy sales cream pie in the face moment where he said that. And within like less than 48 hours, every communist person on earth is running for cover.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tim, you're not wrong. It's frustrating to see. I think we played the clip too earlier in the show, but one of the members of his administration going out and saying there's that. And if you're white and you own property in New York, it's about to get real rough for you. So, you know, I always say it, but you know, piss off commies. I mean, I just don't know how else to put it. I'm just so done with these people coming into our country, infiltrating. We let them keep them around. We should be deporting these people. We could obviously get rid of them in other countries, but we can't do it on our own. It's quite discouraging. Tim, thank you for calling. I want to make sure we have about 2 minutes left that I get to at least one more caller. So welcome to the show. Let's go to Alex in Northern Virginia. Alex, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. I'm not going to try to take up a lot of time. Go to Dodig, dodig.mil, and look for the audit of the U.S. Army's processes for providing supplies and equipment funded through the Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative. The report number is Dodig-2026-014. Now, Maduro, this guy, you know, President Trump takes it very personal when Maduro basically is a huge part of the blame for America in the past 5 years, because President Trump wanted him out. And so Maduro said, okay, I'm going to mess with the elections.
Yeah.
And he messed with the elections and took it from him. So in my opinion, President Trump is taking it very personal with this guy. And because of the way the country could have gone, I say this is a plus that he went and got. Also, I was looking up something else, and there was an attempt on J.D. Vance. Do you know about that?
Yeah, we talked about it briefly. So I don't know if he was home during the incident. You're referring to the one that happened outside of his home in Ohio where someone threw something through his windows. Yeah, I don't know what they threw. I know there's an arrest made, but we're waiting for more information on that front for sure.
Okay. And one more thing. Mm-hmm. The Israeli campaign propaganda has started again. A couple of nights ago, they showed a Trust Israel commercial on my TV. Me and my old lady said, what the F? Then an hour later, they showed, and I put screenshots and I tagged American Journal on X. The screenshots was for Christians and Jews Unite.
Yeah.
And to donate money.
I'm trying to find it now. My friend Eric Spracklin posted on his X page too, because he lives in Tampa. He was passing by and there was a billboard. I can't find it. I'm doing it on the fly. But there was a billboard that he drove past that said something about like the Jewish, like wearing the Jewish stars, like one of the most dangerous things for someone to wear. I can't find it. He posts a lot of content on X, but I'm digging through it. Yeah, no, I mean, man, it's rough. I found it. If you think turbulence is scary, try wearing a Jewish star. That was the post. You guys are good. You guys are great. But yes, Alex, thank you. I appreciate it. Of course, we appreciate everyone at home joining us today. Obviously a lot to go into. A lot's happening though in the next hour. So buckle up because the Alex Jones show starts next. And that's when Nicolas Maduro is going to make his appearance in federal court. So don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the CardioMiracle, which is straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.